At 7:30, it's Locus Focus. Barbara Bernstein's guest will be Scott Ritter, former weapons inspector in Iran for the United Nations. His new book, Target Iran, is a look at the White House's hyping of Iran's alleged nuclear program. At 9 o'clock, Northwest Vets for Peace hosts Veterans Voice.
Did you hear that, what Martha just said about Scott Ritter? I don't think you're going to be hearing Scott Ritter on any other radio station. And it's because of you, the member out there. You make that possible by calling 503-232-8818. Call right now. That's an exceptional thing that you just heard. We're going to have Scott Ritter on the radio this morning live. And at 10, Andrew Geller's guest on People Rise Up is Heather Coburn Flores, author of Food Not Lawns, How to Turn Your Yard into a Garden and Your Neighborhood into a Community. And of course, at 11 o'clock, you have, stay with us because we'll have Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman, another great program that is brought to all of you listeners out there by the people who actually are members, who have taken that really critical step and become a member, a supporting member of community radio in Radio Free Cascadia.
This is fun. We're just name dropping all over the place. At 12 noon on Alternative Radio, here in Noam Chomsky on Latin America, Stirrings in the Servant Quarters. It's Chomsky's first full-length interview since Hugo Chavez's UN speech, which made Chomsky's name world famous and his books bestsellers.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to make that call, 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. Your membership makes all the difference in the world. Thank you, members.
This is the community calendar for Wednesday, October 18th. The Oregon Sierra Club presents The Factory Farm Alarm, The Real Threat of Corporate Farming in Oregon. Kendra Kimberoskas, Factory Farming Issue Coordinator for the Oregon Sierra Club, will talk about the environmental and economic impacts in rural communities when corporate farms move in. This event will be held Thursday, tomorrow night, October 19th, with refreshments starting at 6:30 p.m. and the program beginning at 7. This will be held at the Sierra Club's Portland office, 2950 Southeast Stark Street, Suite 110. That's the corner of Southeast 30th and Stark in Portland. After a video presentation, there will be a discussion about the threat of corporate farms in Oregon and what small steps citizens can do to protect family farms and our rural agricultural economy from industrial farming operations in our state. For more information, contact Kendra, 503-997-7438, 503-997-7438. The League of Women Voters of Portland invites you to take a fresh look at politics, Oregon news, and current events through the eyes of Jack Oman, award-winning political cartoonist for the Oregonian. This benefit will be held Thursday, October 19th, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock p.m., at the McMenamins Mission Theater. That address is 1624 Northwest Gleason Street in Portland. Doors open at 5 p.m. Advance tickets are $25 and $30 at the door. These are tax-deductible donations. For more information, please call 503-228-1675, 503-228-1675. The Willamette Valley community is invited to attend the Pacific Northwest Regional Peace Gathering entitled Walking the Path of Peace. This will be held on October 26th through the 28th at the Albany Mennonite Church in Albany, Oregon. Workshop themes include restorative justice, youth in the military, veterans for peace, immigration justice, evangelism and peacemaking, global warming, creation care, and more. Registration materials are available by calling Matt Friesen at the Albany Mennonite Church. That number is 541-926-1443. 541-926-1443. This has been the Community Calendar. I'm Alicia Olson for KBOO, listener-sponsored, volunteer-powered, non-corporate, commercial-free radio in Portland, Hood River, and Corvallis.
Attention nonprofit job seekers, Portland's largest networking forum, Idealist.org's nonprofit career fair, will be held at Portland State University on October 19th. This is an opportunity to connect directly with representatives from as many as 60 to 70 organizations in one space about current and future employment, internship, and volunteer opportunities. Additionally, free information sessions offering nonprofit career advice will be available to all job seekers. The fair will be held in the ballroom on the third floor of the Smith Memorial Student Union at Portland State University on October 19th from 11 to 3 p.m. For more information, go to idealist.org/fairs. KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of this event.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com. This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Timbuktu's World Music CD Shop, featuring sounds from around the globe, plus American roots and eclectic contemporary music. Timbuktu's, located at 4726 Southeast Hawthorne in Portland, is now open 7 days a week. Information at 503-239-0179 or on the web at timbuktu's.com.
No one likes us, I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we try. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one and see what happens. We give them money, but are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're hateful. They don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one and pulverize them. The Asia's crowded, Europe's too old, Africa's far too hot, and Canada's too cold. South America stole our name. Let's drop the big one, there'll be no one left to blame us. We'll save Australia. Don't wanna hurt no kangaroo. We're building all American amusement park there. They got surfing too. Boom goes London, boom Paris. More room for you and more room for me. In every city, the whole world round, we'll just be another American town. Oh, how peaceful it will be. We'll set everybody free. Wear a Japanese kimono, baby, be Italian shoes for me. They all hate us anyhow, so let's drop the big one now.
You are listening to Locus Focus this morning, Wednesday morning call and talk radio here on KBOO Community Radio, where the time is almost 20 minutes before 8 o'clock. And the number to call to join in the conversation this morning is 503-231-8187. I'm Barbara Brinson, your host this morning, and I'll be with you until 9 a.m. We just heard unusual intro to the show. That was Randy Newman's Political Science, as he describes it, a pinhead's view of current events or history, however you want to look at it, and a song that I guess I would dedicate both to George W. Bush and his administration as well as to the administration of North Korea. And today we're going to be talking with Scott Ritter, who is very well known to KBOO audiences as he's a former weapons inspector for the UN and inspected the lack of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq between, let's see, from 1991 to 1998, actually watched the dismantling of their weapons program and was one of the few people ardently explaining back in the build-up to the war in Iraq in 2003 that there were no more weapons of mass destruction left in Iraq, and a voice that you hear really only on places like KABU. And we'll be talking with him starting in about 5 minutes. And before that, we're going to be, and we're actually with Scott, we're going to be talking today about the United States' intentions to go to war with Iran over their supposed nuclear weapons. So that's coming up in just a few minutes. But in the meantime, we're going to scurry over a couple studios and talk with Edison and Carol, who are going to remind you that we're in the middle of a pledge drive and that there's another number to call today to help us to keep this kind of programming on the air. And that number is 503-232-8818. Are you there, Edison and Carol?
Good morning.
Thanks so much. This is Carol. And Barbara, what a great song, Drop the Big One Now. That's a different vision of the world than we have here at KABU. And this morning, we're going to give a chance for listeners to call in and really show their support, show that you have a different vision. We have a $1,400 goal this morning. And you know what? I believe we can make that goal. But first, 503-232-8818 is the number to call.
That's right. And if you're outside the Portland metropolitan area, or the 503 area code, I should say, you can call for free by calling 877-500-5266. That's 1-877-500-5266.
We have a room full of kind of sleepy volunteers here who got up really early, woke up this Indeed. Morning and said, I'm going to show my support for KABU and come on in and answer those phones, answer your calls. 503-232-8818. So we're here waiting. And again, the program goal is $1,400. That's just a few phone calls. And think about the guests we've heard on Barbara's shows over the months. Today we have Scott Ritter. We've had a whole slew of guests. Scott Ritter, a UN former UN weapons inspector, will be joining us. But think about all the intricacies involved in setting up that interview, the calls that Barbara had to make on her own time, and he's taking his time to call in, to join us.
And you know, just as importantly, when Barbara introduced, your guest or told us about who your guest was going to be today, you talked about the fact that that probably won't be heard many other places. And, you know, I have a real fear for non-commercial community-sponsored radio that where we are going to become more and more the lone voice of truth and reason and logic out there.
Wait, we already are.
But it's going to, become even more endangered. And we need people in the community to help us fight against that by helping support the station. You can do it very easily. We have people here who are just dying to talk to you. They know all the ways that you can join. There's so many painless ways to do this. You can have an electronic funds transfer out of your checking account. You can come down to the station, and we really do like that because you can come down and meet the people and see what we're doing here. If you haven't been here before, you owe it to yourself to do that because, after all, it is your radio station. So call 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
And we have about another minute or so we're going to have Scott Ritter on. And I want to stress that this is a real strong example of what sets us apart from even other public broadcasting. Because when Scott Ritter started raising his voice about why we shouldn't go to war with Iraq, this is 3.5 years ago, and he came with a great deal of background, having been a weapons inspector there for 7 years, that he wasn't listened to not only by the mainstream media, but even by NPR and the kind of mainstream public broadcasting. Who were all part of the drumbeat to war in 2003. And what Scott's going to be talking about today is we are having a deja vu again. This time we're going to change a Q to an N, and we, you know, are going to the neighboring country, to Iraq. And so I think it's a very important, it's very important that voices like Scott Ritter's are heard. But what's maybe frustrating, or maybe what should be celebrated, is that this is the only place where you're really hearing these voices. And if we are going to really change the world, which those of us in community radio believe we are, we need to expand our listenership. We need to reach more people. And those of you who are our listeners need to do two things. The first thing you need to do is call 503-232-8818. Or if you're calling from Hood River or Corvallis or Southwest Washington, call 1-877-500-5266, and that'll be a toll-free call. And the other thing you need to do is you need to tell other people about KABU, and you need to be a KABU evangelical evangelist, whatever.
Activist.
Yes. Well, it's more than that. It's actually spreading the gospel of community radio.
That's it.
But anyway, amen. I think that...
And if people call right now, they're not going to miss any of this interview with Scott Ritter. So take that moment right now and give us a call so you won't miss that interview. It's 503-232-8818. And for $10 a month, we have some great thank you gifts. And you'll find out what those are when you call.
Right. And so we actually have Scott Ritter on the phone right now. So I want to thank Edison and Carol. We'll be back talking to you in about 20 minutes or so. And I imagine that the other voice on the line is Scott Ritter.
It is.
Good morning. Welcome to KBOO.
Thanks for having me.
So Scott Ritter was one of the UN weapons inspectors. He was, in fact, the top weapons inspector in Iraq between 1991 and 1998. And before working for the UN, he served as an officer in the U.S. Marines and as a ballistic missile advisor to General Schwarzkopf in the First Gulf War. He's the author of many books, including Iraq Confidential, Endgame, and Frontier Justice. And his latest book is called Target Iran, The Truth About the White House's Plans for Regime Change. So... the other thing about Scott Ritter is that he's a very frequent voice in kind of peace movement things, as well as on community radio. So I'm kind of curious, Scott, how someone with your background has become so much a part of the peace movement.
Well, I don't know if I'm part of the peace movement.
You speak for the peace movement.
Well, I work with them. I'm an American first and foremost, and I believe in certain fundamental things like the rule of law, the Constitution, due process, and freedom of speech. And I'm also somebody who is a veteran of the Marine Corps, 12 years in the Marine Corps, been to war, and I know what the reality of war is, somebody who believes that we should exhaust every venue possible short of war before ever going to war. And I view what we did in the lead-up to the war in Iraq, what we're doing in Iraq today, is something that's just flagrantly wrong, anti-American. And so, I have found common voice with a group of Americans who share that same point of view. It's sort of interesting to look at how we came together. Most of these people in the peace movement, I would say, are from the progressive side of America, much more liberal than I certainly am. But on this issue, the issue of peace, the issue that America should not just jump off and go to war on lies, and we shouldn't allow the government to mislead Congress or the American people about such important issues, we've come together. And so I have no problem traveling around the country working hand in hand with these fantastic people. Like I said, we could sit around the breakfast table and discuss domestic politics, and we might square off and have some disagreements, but you know what? That's okay. That's what makes this country great. But we do come together with shared value systems on what our country stands for, and what we all agree is that our country doesn't stand for preemptive wars of aggression or unilateral military action.
Well, I don't think you were on the air before this. We started out the show with Randy Newman's old song, Political Science, Let's Drop the Big One Now, which is, I think that when he wrote that song, actually, we weren't nearly as worried about nuclear war as we've become subsequently. And the attitude of just basically, they all hate us anyhow, so let's drop the big one now. Do you think that attitude really does kind of sort of typify the bellicosity with which the Bush administration is viewing the rest of the world now?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you see it with the president's statements. When trying to bring the nation together in the aftermath of September 11, 2001, the president said, you're either with us or you're against us. And what an absurd thing for an American president to say, because an American president should represent the values and ideals of that which defines America, the Constitution of the United States of America. And if you take a look at, the history of the United States and the founding of that document, there were two individuals in particular, Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, who most certainly did not see eye to eye. One was the neoliberal of his day, the other was the neoconservative of his day. But, they sat down and hashed this thing out and created, the cornerstone of what has become the nation with the greatest potential to do good. Not that we're doing good, but we have the greatest potential to do good. So here's an American president eliminating differences, eliminating shades of gray, trying to define the world as black and white, and therefore also defining America as black and white. It's not only wrong, it's ignorant. And those who allow themselves to fall victim to this kind of, you know, bellicosity, this chest thumping, this, you know, I'm the biggest boy on the block, you got to listen to me attitude, are doing a disservice to their country.
Now, you have been, back in 2002, 2003, you were saying that Iraq had no capability to threaten the world with the array of weapons of mass destruction that the United States and England were claiming it had. And you kept saying, I was there, we know it was there, and we know how limited their capability was. And you were not listened to by very much of the mainstream. In fact, I think my memory is the only place you really got a lot of airtime back in 2002 was places like KABU and other community radio stations and alternative publications. Now that you have been totally vindicated, is the mainstream paying more attention to what you're saying, particularly this time around with Iran?
Well, it's still early on. I mean, the book that just came out by Nation Books, Target Iran, is, I would say, the first, you know, major venture into the Iranian game by me. I've written articles in the past. I've talked about it, but you know, this is set, putting both feet squarely into, you know, the game, so to speak. And you know, so far I've been on CNN, MSNBC. I did an appearance on Fox News with Bill O'Reilly. I've been interviewed by NPR. C-SPAN is going to broadcast an event I did the other night with Seymour Hersh, and we'll see where it goes. I do believe that, you know, having been proven right on Iraq, and having had people had the opportunity to dissect, you know, the reason why I took the stance I did, I think it's clear now that I simply wasn't grasping at straws. I wasn't the lucky one, you know. If 1,000 people give an opinion, one's going to be proven right, you know. And a lot of people are saying, well, he just got lucky. I think it's clear now I wasn't lucky, that it was the product of fact-based analysis, that there is a methodology that I use to come up with these conclusions. And I'm applying that same fact-based analysis and methodology to Iran. I'm not just simply grasping at ideological straws, saying I don't like Bush, therefore I'm going to oppose a policy. The conclusions I derive concerning Iran are based upon sound analysis that's played out in the book. I walk you through, you know, to evaluate the source of the Iranian crisis. You know, how good are these inspectors? What is the role of the European Union? What about Russia and China? And ultimately, what is the genuine true objective of the Bush administration, which I state clearly is regime change? And this stuff about a nuclear-armed Iran is simply a smokescreen to facilitate regime change, in the same manner that a WMD-armed Iraq was a smokescreen to facilitate the removal of Saddam Hussein.
I'm talking with Scott Ritter, who is the author of a brand-new book called Target Iran, The Truth About the White House's Plans for Regime Change. And Scott Ritter was the top U.N. weapons inspector in Iraq between 1991 and 1998. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can give a call at 503-231-8187. You can also call at 503-232-8818 right now and become a member of KABU, because we are in our pledge drive, and we'll be talking more about that in about 15 minutes. But right now, you can talk with Scott Ritter and me by calling 503-231-8187. And that's about 5.5 minutes before 8 o'clock here on KABU Community Radio. Scott, I thinking about you mentioned in your book, one of the people that you mentioned is Cy Hersh, who's been writing about Iran now for like over a year in The New Yorker. And I wonder how closely you've been talking and working with him, as he's been, I mean, because he's been doing a really excellent job of laying out just the fact that there is this plan to go to war with Iran, which it seems, would you say that the administration is still denying that they're planning to go to war with Iran, as they were a year ago when Cy Hersh's first articles came out? And is Cy Hersh somebody who you've actually been collaborating with at all in trying to bring this story forward?
Well, first of all, let's talk about the notion of collaboration between Seymour Hersh and myself. We don't collaborate on anything. Cy is a Pulitzer Prize winning investigative journalist who prides himself with his independent character. The last thing that Psy does is sit down and conspire with people behind the scenes to coordinate message or anything else. He's doing his own thing. What happens is after he does his research, after he writes his article, he sends me a copy of it at the same time that it's getting ready to go to press, because as far as he's concerned, you know, his research is embargoed from the world until the New Yorker's ready to run with it. And then we talk about it after the fact. In the same way, you know, Psy and I will talk several times a week. You know, just pick up the phone and say, hey, did you see this? Did you read that? You know, what's going on here? But, you know, that's not conspiracy. That's two concerned individuals, you know, chatting things over. But when it comes to the, you know, the heart of the fantastic work that he's been doing, that's pure Psy Hirsch. There's no, you know, coordination or complicity between him and Scott Ritter, and I believe there's none between him and anyone else. Psy's just a concerned American, a fantastic journalist, doing his own thing. And having said that, you know, Psy has developed a network of sources over the years that are second to none. And he's a very careful journalist. I think history has shown that when Psy, you know, writes something, that's sort of the way it happened. You know, the White House can continue to say, well, you know, that's not exactly what happened, et cetera, but they haven't been able to ever contradict him on, you know, a major item of fact. When he says a meeting took place, a meeting took place. When he says that somebody made the following opinion, they made the following opinion. When the following paper was written, that paper was written. And, you know, the White House has trouble dealing with somebody like Psy Hirsch because he's exposing the fact that war is very much on the table. The Bush administration has a plan, and again, this is not a national secret. They've articulated it over and over again. They just recently put it out in their 2006 edition of their national security strategy, a plan of regime change, where they say we want the regime in Tehran changed. This same national security strategy embraces the doctrine of preemptive war of aggression, similar to what we used in Iraq, to achieve regime change. So we know what their intent is. There's no longer a debate about what their intent is. Nobody can claim that the Bush administration does not intend to change the regime. What people can say is, what are the tactics that are going to be used? And again, because they have embraced preemptive war of aggression, I would say that that is their primary tactic, that diplomacy is but a smokescreen to achieve this tactic. So now we have to say, if it's preemptive war of aggression, you know, how will they do it and when will they do it? And what Psy Hirsch has been writing about is the fact that there is a serious debate in Washington, D.C. between the ideologues who are fully committed to war with Iran and the military that would have to fight such a war, but is hesitant to go down that path, especially given the ongoing debacle in Iraq.
And that's something I think that we need to talk more about is, hasn't anybody learned any lessons from Iraq? I mean, those of us who are not in the military, never been in the military, and don't have military minds, are scratching our heads going, how can the United States possibly consider waging another war in Iran when we are completely bogged down in Iraq? So it is your perspective that we are, in fact, that bogged down in Iraq, and do you have any idea where they're thinking they're going to get the manpower and the weaponry or whatever, the resources to be able to open a war on a second front?
Well, one of the things we have to realize is that the people who are formulating policy for the Bush administration aren't national security experts in the traditional sense of the word, meaning, you know, longtime pragmatic thinkers who look at the reality of the world and determine, you know, what is, you know, the most viable way forward to achieve an objective realistically that does the best good for America. That's a genuine national security thinker. Sometimes they make tough decisions. Sometimes we don't like the decisions they make. But at the end of the day, they're making these decisions out of a legitimate concern for the national security of the United States. The Bush administration's national security team is populated by and large by ideologues who have married themselves to a neoconservative ideology that has as its base the notion that after the collapse of the Soviet Union, the United States can allow no power or group of powers to fill the vacuum created by the Soviet Union to challenge America, that we must seek global hegemony, global domination, and we divide the world into spheres of interest that we seek to dominate economically, politically, militarily. And one of these spheres of influence is the Middle East, where the Bush administration has articulated a policy of regional transformation keyed on the notion of regime change in countries that we have defined as rogue nations or failed nations. Iraq was a failed nation. We felt that Saddam Hussein had failed, that Iraq wasn't functioning. We needed to replace him. Iran is a rogue nation. The Bush administration is firmly committed down this path. And because these ideologues have a president who is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, they're able to impose their ideological vision on the military preparations. Yes, there's people in the military who say, well, wait a minute, we don't really have the wherewithal to do this. But what the ideologues do then is couch the problem in different terms. Okay, so we can't put 200,000 troops on the ground in Iran. We will not seek regime change by the physical occupation of that country, as we did with Iraq. We will now seek regime change by creating the conditions in which the Iranian people will rise up and overthrow the government. We'll do that through economic sanctions, which further isolates the government from the people, in our opinion, in the ideologue's opinion, and then we will launch a sustained aerial bombardment that decapitates the leadership, suppresses the police state, and facilitates and enables the population to rise up. This is the war plan that's being put on the table, and it's one that has been modified so that it meets the capabilities of the military. Now, that's interesting how this happens. It's not the military saying, hey, let's define the problem realistically and determine what resources are necessary. It's the military saying, hey, this is all we have to play with, and the ideologue saying, well, then we will build a problem set that meets your capabilities. That's faith-based analysis. That's fiction-based analysis. It's not based on the facts. It's not based on the reality of Iran. It's based upon what the ideologues are willing to ideologically commit to. This is a very dangerous situation.
But this is the administration that calls people like you and me reality-based people, right? That, you know, we're
there's
out
nothing
of
wrong with being reality-based.
Right. Well, I know. It's what's, I mean, that to me said an awful lot about who these people are, that they actually thought it was a critical term to refer to journalists and other people who live in the real world as being reality-based. But we are talking with Scott Ritter, who is the author of Target Iran, and we are he was also one of the UN's top weapons inspectors in Iraq between 1991 and 1998. And if you want to join the conversation, you can give a call at 503-231-8187. You are listening to KBOO Portland Listener Sponsored Community Radio at 90.7 in the Portland metro area, 91.9 in the Columbia River Gorge, and 100.7 in the Mid-Willamette Valley. It's about 3 minutes after 8 o'clock. In a few moments, we're going to be stepping out to talk with some friends about why you need to become a member of KBOO, but we got about another 4 minutes to talk with Scott, and then he'll be back. He'll be around with us until about 8:45 to talk about what's really going on in the Middle East. It seems that the description of the kind of war that they are planning for Iran sounds like what the initial strategy was for Iraq back in 1991, and that didn't work. And or at least didn't work in their eyes. It obviously didn't overthrow Saddam. So, is there anybody talking about the fact that this is this strategy has already failed in one country? Why would it work in Iran?
Well, actually, it succeeded. I mean, in 1991, we weren't fighting a war to get rid of Saddam Hussein. That might have been the way that Bush couched it to the American public in the fall of 1990 when he compared Saddam Hussein with Adolf Hitler and called, Saddam the personification of evil. But the war plan that we executed, and this is the war that I fought in, I'm intimately familiar with this war plan. We used a massive aerial campaign to destroy Iraq's ability to successfully defend Kuwait, because the goal of the campaign was the liberation of Kuwait, not the occupation of Iraq. A lot of people today say, well, we should have gone on to Baghdad. Well, it was never in the cards. We weren't going to Baghdad. The war was about liberating Kuwait, and we successfully did that. And let's remember that we had, about 350,000 ground troops on the ground in Saudi Arabia that physically moved in and took over Kuwait after the aerial bombardment destroyed Iraq's ability to successfully wage war in the defense of their occupation of Kuwait. So I view the 1991 Gulf War as a screaming success from the standpoint of we accomplished what we said we were going to accomplish. But let's remember this. The people might sit there and say, hey, so maybe massive aerial bombardments work, and we can achieve this job. Never forget part two. 350,000 ground troops to put boots on the ground. The air campaign cannot do it alone. And you need to put boots on the ground. And boots on the ground liberating Kuwait from an Iraqi occupation is completely different than boots on the ground occupying Iraq, as we found out in 2003. When we didn't even have enough boots, but the boots we put on the ground are incapable of dealing with the reality of Iraq. You don't impose yourself on a nation. If you're coming in to do justice, to do good, that's one thing. But we got rid of Saddam Hussein and then we imposed ourselves on. We became the occupiers, and in the eyes of many, the illegitimate occupiers of Iraq. And that seems to be the lesson that people have drawn, that we can't occupy these nations. Therefore, we're going to rely on an air campaign. But remember this, the air campaign doesn't work unless you got significant boots on the ground to follow up. You can't separate the two, and unfortunately, that's what I think the planners are trying to do today.
Well, I'm talking with Scott Ritter, who is a former weapons inspector for the UN in Iraq, and we are going to be talking about why you need to join Cable in just a moment. But in the meantime, we do have a caller, so we'll take our caller, and then if you want to join in the conversation after we tell you a little bit about why you need to become a member of Cable, you can call at 503-231-8187. Good morning. You're on the air.
Campaign, but remember this.
You need to turn your radio off, please.
Hello?
Hi, you need to turn your radio off.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Okay, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. But I want to say, is the guest still on?
Yes, he's here.
Oh, I want to say what a breath of fresh air he is to the KBOO airwaves. I think what he's saying is right on, and it's balanced, and it's just a good, great message. And it's about time we hear the other side on this, radio of diversity.
Okay, well, thanks for calling. I'm not exactly sure what he meant by that, but anyway, it's not the first time we've had Scott Ritter on the air here either. He's actually been a relatively frequent guest here on the airwaves ever since 2003. But it's time for us to go tell you why you need to become a member of KBOO. And Scott, if you are listening, you are very welcome to jump in at any time you'd like and tell people why they should become a member of KBOO.
Good morning, Barbara, and good morning, Scott. And welcome to the Autumn Membership Drive at KBOO. Right now, I need, for those of you who are listening, to go out and pick up the phone, 503-232-8818. I'm going to say that one again. This is the Portland number, 503-232-8818, or outside the 503 area code, free call, 1-877-500-5266, and become a supporter of the kind of radio you've been listening to this morning, hearing the information from someone who was actually there, not someone who was putting a spin on it, not a corporate media who was actually not even giving it the light of day, but someone who actually experienced the roll-up to the invasion and what has now become an occupation in Iraq. And I'm not so sure you're going to hear that anyplace else. We need your help to keep bringing you this sort of thing. So please become a member today. Call 503-232-8818, 1-877-500-5266.
And this is Carol. Here's the goal this morning. We have $1,370 to go, and we can make that, but we can't do it without your help. And Scott Ritter has been on the air before here. But that's because you helped us have this station running, and you helped us with your pledges. So 503-232-8818 for calling in for just a mere $75 minimum pledge. You will be able to receive as a thank you gift Target Iran. That's Scott Ritter's new book, the one he's talking about if you've just joined us, The Truth About the White House's Plans for Regime Change. And let's say you know all this stuff. Maybe you have a friend who doesn't. This is a great, great gift. What I'd like people to think about, too, is October surprise. You know, we talk a lot about what's the government going to do for October surprise. The question is, what are we going to do for our own October surprise? This is our chance to show the world that KBOO needs to be heard loud and strong. And that takes calling in 503-232-8818. The phones are ringing. Join the crowd. We don't want to delay the interview, but we do want you to call in right now in this brief moment to quickly make that pledge so we can hear the rest of what Scott Ritter has to say, former UN weapons inspector. 1-877-500 5266. We have a whole list of thank you gifts for calling in. But the first step, of course, is making that call and talking to our wonderful volunteers
here. It's time to refresh your coffee anyway. Go ahead and get up from the chair, get some more coffee, and then walk by the phone and call 503-232-8818 and tell the person that answers the phone that you'd like to become a part of this radio station. You want to help make sure that information like brave people like Scott Ritter are putting out there, telling the ground truth, the reality-based truth, which, of course, we all know reality has a liberal, a well-known liberal bias, so we have to be careful with that.
You know, Edison, you were saying earlier as a veteran how upset you were at some of the egregious acts that this president has committed. And, you know, that feeling, that passion, I wonder if you could say something about that's what we need to tap into when you make that call.
Well, and I know a lot of veterans do listen to this program because they appreciate the reality and the honesty that's there. Just based upon the way this administration has treated the military, has treated the career military people, has, first of all, misdirected them or at least not been straight with them on why they were even doing what they were doing. Secondly, not providing them with the equipment, with the tools they need to even do what they've been asked to do. And the thing that really gets me the most is the underfunding, the defunding, if you will, of the Veterans Administration and not even owning up to the number of injuries that this war has cost us already. This is a huge, huge wound in our military that I'm not sure that we're going to be able to heal anytime soon. And to even consider doing something else, as Scott is pointing out here in his book, which you can get, I might add, for a $75 minimum pledge by calling 503-232-8818, is it just compounds it for me. So if you're a veteran and you're fed up with this stuff, give us a call. Join KBOO.
503-232-8818. Again, we do have $1,370 to go. We can do it. And Barbara, go ahead.
And I was thinking, Carol mentioned earlier about the guest that I've had earlier on during the pledge drive. And I remember 2 weeks ago we had Jeff Cohen, who started Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, who went on to be a pundit on all three different news cable news TV channels, or whatever you call those things.
Yes.
And he talked actually about trying to get Scott Ritter onto the Phil Donahue show on MSNBC.
But how many conservatives did they have to have
right.
to offset him?
And I think that actually, Scott, you actually got onto that show, didn't you?
I was a guest twice, but apparently behind the scenes there was a tremendous amount of angst because MSNBC was competing with Fox and CNN for national viewership in the lead up to a war that the entire mass media had not only said, they're going to go along with, they're starting to count the money that they were going to get by, increased revenues, increased viewership, et cetera. The last thing they wanted was, one of their flagship programs, bringing on somebody who would dare challenge the basic premise to war. So it apparently got pretty ugly. I know at one time they actually had the one of the number one or number two guys of director of programming for MSNBC get on their news cycle and start accusing me of being in the payroll of Saddam Hussein as a way to offset the fact that I was on Donahue's program.
That's great.
And I mean, but on the other hand, when we were talking about getting Scott on the show this week, I had all kinds of support from management. In fact, it was Kathleen Stevenson, our morning news and public affairs director, who made all the arrangements to get Scott on. So I'd say that we have a slightly different attitude.
And that difference is what makes KBOO different.
Right, and that's why you need to call 503-232-8818.
Yeah, and I think what we're saying is this is very unique community radio here in the Pacific Northwest that you can support. Again, I'm looking at the goal here. If you appreciate what Barbara's doing, please give us a call. This is a fantastic opportunity to say we support KBOO, its vision, and we support the guests that we're bringing on. For a $120 minimum pledge, that's just $10 a month, we do have a four-lecture political CD with Dr. Helen Caldicott, David Corton, Calvin Trillin, and Cindy Sheehan that you can get, or you can break those down to $5 a month for a $60 pledge to also get. So if you're you like the news and public affairs programming that we present to you, this is something that you can bring home
and
as
so
a thank you gift.
And it's so easy to do. You just simply pick up the phone and call 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. If you're listening to us streaming, and we know that there are a lot of people that do, we get people that call us from all over the world on our toll-free number, and they also email us and tell us that they listen to us online. So I would say good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you listening online. You can join by just simply clicking the Join Now button at kboo.fm.
And Carol and Edison, I want to have a little time of programming before we come back and talk to you again, because we're scheduled to come back in like 8 minutes. So anyway, we'll be back shortly to talk with Carol and Edison. In the meantime, we have Scott Ritter on the line. We're talking about the impending plans for going to war with Iran. And if you want to join the conversation, you can give a call at 503-231-8187. It is about 16 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock here on Locus Focus on KBOO Community Radio. We've got a couple callers waiting, so we'll take our first caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, is this Scott Ritter?
Well, Scott Ritter is right there.
Okay, hi. Well, yes, I think KBOO is really great, and I think that September 11th is an issue that people could rally around, and I want to ask Scott Ritter if he knows anything about the group calling themselves Scholars for 9/11 Truth. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling. Do you have any knowledge or interest in that, Scott?
Well, I mean, I'm aware of it. I'd say, look, I wasn't at 9/11. I didn't participate in the investigation, etc. I know a lot of people who were involved. I'm a firefighter here in New York, and I'm very close to the reality that 343 fellow firefighters died that day. I'm familiar with the firefighters who fought the fire at the Pentagon. And I'm also somebody who's very close with men and women who continue to serve our nation, either in the military or in various law enforcement or intelligence organizations. And I do not support the notion of a conspiracy. I know the people who are on the ground who were doing the initial response, who were involved in the mechanisms there. And I just, make a long story short, I don't support the conspiracy. To me, 9/11, if you want to focus on 9/11, focus on this, that on September 12th, the Bush administration used the September 11th attacks to articulate a strategy to go after Iraq, a secular nation that had no connection with Osama bin Laden or those who perpetrated the events of 9/11. That's where my anger lies. My anger lies with an administration callously exploiting a heinous crime that resulted in the deaths of nearly 3,000 Americans, and instead of bringing the perpetrator of that crime to justice, instead of embracing the rule of law and showing the world that America stands for due process and the rule of law, we set down the path of illegal, illegitimate wars of aggression that were condemned by the Nuremberg Tribunal. And then in waging this so-called war on terror, we not only violate national sovereignty and slaughter people, 650,000 Iraqis dead, according to one recent study, thanks to the American intervention, but we are destroying ourselves, our own moral foundation, our own moral character, by embracing secret prisons, a warrantless wiretapping, torture. How can Americans condone torture, and yet we have a president who just signed into law a bill that does just that? That's where my anger resides.
Okay. And if you want to join the conversation, again, you can give a call at 503-231-8187. I'm talking with Scott Ritter, who was a weapons inspector for the UN in Iraq between 1991 and 1998. His new book is called Target Iran, and he is helping, along with really good writers like Cy Hirsch, to keep us informed on the plans that this administration has to go to war with Iran, just as we went to war with Iraq. If you want to join the conversation, again, give a call at 503-231-8187. It's about 19 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock here on Locus Focus. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello. I heard, Mr. Ritt, I heard that our country recently gave Chechnya, I believe, millions of dollars to do something with their elections. And I've been sensing something, but I have nothing to back up this. But I've been sensing that countries like Saudi Arabia, Russia, China, and Japan, united or not, are using George Bush and others to weaken or neutralize our country. But as I said, you know, I have nothing to back it up. I just wanted to put that out.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
Well, the countries she just mentioned are all countries that have, you know, a vested interest in, you know, the world. They recognize that the world is populated by several billions of people who reside in different sovereign entities. And when you have a nation, the United States, populated with 300 million people trying to dictate the terms of coexistence with the rest of the world, these billions of others, you've got an inherent problem. None of those nations she mentioned by themselves can stand up to the United States. And while I don't think there's a conspiracy amongst them to, you know, bring down America, I think a lot of them realize that, you know, America's worst enemy is America itself. And, you know, maybe the best course of action is to sit back and let this nightmare of neoconservative ideology that currently holds the reins of power in Washington, D.C., run its course. And then, when it's done, come in and do their best to pick up the pieces.
It's an interesting thought. I mean, I'm sort of imagining Europe coming in and kind of salvaging the remnants of the imperial United States, a country that was initially colonized by Europeans. Seems like the whole thing would go full circle. Maybe they can come and salvage us and take us back to Europe. And then those of us
maybe we can just get our own act together. That
yeah.
would be a...
Yeah, well,
refreshing change.
I think what's interesting for, I mean, I've only done a little bit of traveling in Europe myself, but people I talk to who've spent time in Europe, you have a very different perspective on the world when you spend time in Europe, or I think, especially if you spend time in Asia and South America and Africa, you get definitely a really different perspective of the world. And I guess still most Americans have never traveled outside of this country and do not have a concept of the way the rest of the world looks at us, let alone the way the rest of the world looks at the rest of the world. And
look, we're so self-centered. The universe revolves around America, or if you're an American, the universe revolves around your hometown, your county, whatever. But, you know, that seems to be our focus. I do a lot of traveling. I just came back from Italy. I was in Iran earlier last month. There's a couple things that surprise me. One, these people know more about America than we do. They follow what goes on in America. They're addicted to, you know, the news. They want to know about America. So when you sit down with Italian high school kids, as I did, and go through the map of the United States, they can name the states, name the state capitals, they can talk about the histories of the states, they can talk about, you know, what the primary economic driving factors are in these states, how that interrelates. They've got the picture down better than American school kids do. But they can also sit there and talk about Italy and Europe and European history. They can talk about Asia. They can talk about the Maghreb, which if you live in Europe, you know that's North Africa. They accept complexity. They accept reality. That's part of their day-to-day existence. They view the world as different shades of gray, whereas the United States, thanks to the ignorance that is derived from the fact that we don't interact, we as a people don't interact with the rest of the world, the United States views the world as black and white. You're either with us or against us.
And actually, I was traveling in Venezuela last winter, and many Venezuelans would come up to us and tell us how sorry they felt for Americans because Americans are so ill-informed because they got all their news from Fox News. And I thought it was a little bit of an exaggeration because there are Americans who do watch or get information from other sources besides Fox, but I do think that the Venezuelans who don't have the greatest media either, because it's either the government media or very right wing private media, and then I guess actually there's a lot of independent media, there's a lot of community radio and stuff like that that's happening too now, but that they find ways to inform themselves and know that they are better informed than most Americans are. And though I haven't traveled in the rest of Latin America, I have a sense that that's true throughout a lot of Latin America and probably throughout a lot of the world as well as Europe, that people spend a lot more time getting informed about their own lives and the lives and the world around them than people in this country do.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about that. The proof is in the pudding. You've traveled, I've traveled, we've seen that reality.
We're reality based, you know.
You're using that liberal bias.
That's right.
But going back to your fundraiser and the concept of the free flow of information, you know, people can never underestimate the impact that a radio station like yours has. It does have global reach. I'm from Albany, New York, and we have a similar station here, WAMC, that, you know, I spent a lot of time on. And a lot of people say, well, that was just regional. You're confined to, you know, the regional reach of that station. But the discussions that I had, you know, had not only national reach, but global reach. And so you'd be surprised that maybe even this conversation we're having, or the conversations you've had with other important guests, it goes well beyond just the immediate reach of your broadcasting antenna or the internet. It will be replayed over and over, and people will listen to it. So, you know, we can be critical of America, we'll be critical of mainstream media, and sometimes rightfully so, but never forget that this is a nation where freedom of speech is still tolerated, and radio stations such as yours are an extremely important part of that.
I appreciate that. And also, I think that a lot of stories start at stations like KABU, and then they filter their way into the mainstream media. So in 2002, you were on KABU and Pacifica and Democracy Now! And in 2006, you are on Fox and NBC, MSNBC and CNN. And perhaps the mainstream media does listen to us a little more than we realize. We've got time for, like, we have a couple callers on the line. I'm going to try to take one caller now, then we got to take another pitch break, and we'll, if you can just hang on along with Scott, we'll definitely talk to you after the pitch break, but we'll take our first caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, is that me?
It's you.
Oh, hi. excuse me. I have a little bit of confusion about the situation with Iran. If the Democrats actually take over the Senate or the House or both, after this next election is coming up, do you think that they'll be able to stop such a terrible attack on Iran? And if they don't win, how can the president get away with doing such a thing without congressional approval?
Well, these are good questions. The first thing you need to understand, and I wish most Americans would understand this, is Congress already gave permission. In October 2001, in the aftermath of September 11th attacks, Congress passed a resolution that gave the president carte blanche, a blank check, to go after and hunt down not just the perpetrators of the 9/11 attacks, but all terrorists and state sponsors of terror in general. And the June 2006 edition of the National Security Strategy names Iran 16 times as the number one security threat to the United States of America, not just because of their nuclear program, but it says even if they don't have a nuclear program, Iran still remains a threat because it is the biggest state sponsor of terror in the world. So we've already, you know, the president's already made the case based upon the legal authorities already granted him by Congress. And here's the problem with Congress. Republican and Democrat alike, they have been pre-programmed to accept at face value anything negative about the Iranian government. Therefore, on the surface, even if the Democrats win the House and the Senate in the upcoming elections, there's a good chance that the president will still be able to ramrod through military conflict with Iran because most Democrats have bought into the story. You know, they agree that Iran is a state sponsor of terror. They agree that Iran has a nuclear weapons program. They agree Iran is a threat, and they don't disagree with regime change per se. The only hope is that if you have Democrats in charge of the different oversight committees, that they might ask a probing question. You know, right now we have Congress lobbing softball questions at the Bush administration, and they just knock them over the center field all the time for a home run. Well, what happens if you throw them a fastball and they swing and they miss? And then you get to throw that next pitch. You get to ask that follow-up question. And what happens if you're not willing to just nod dumbly at what the administration says, but you take advantage of the fact that these are your political opponents, you sense weakness, and you move in for the kill? Imagine a Congress that actually carried out effective oversight and demanded fact-based analysis from government officials. And that is the only hope we have, that the Democrats will insert some friction into the system and maybe slow down this mad rush to war.
Okay, and we need to go talk with Carol and Edison right now about why you need to become a member of Cable. Thank you for your call. And the other call, we'll just have you hang on for a few minutes until we come back. So, Carol and Edison, are you there?
Yes, we are. Here.
You know, we're having a great time listening to Scott Ritter, and we were having a side conversation about what empowers us. And I'd like listeners to think about that. What is it? What empowers you? What can empower you right now? 503-232-8818. We got about $1,300 more to go for one woman. Empowering her was some feminist, let's just say activities in the 70s. Others were joining the Family Alliance of God at counter rallies. But what can empower us all is making that phone call, 503-232-8818.
Or if you're outside the Portland area, call 1-877-500-5266. That's 1-877-500-5266. It's always gratifying to me, you know, Carol, that when we get members that call in from Corvallis down the Willamette Valley or Hood River out in the Gorge, the Couve, Southwest Washington, we have members all over, and it's really great to hear from those folks when they call in and they renew their membership. But what really gets me jacked are new members. People that have been listening to this program and listening to Locus Focus, been listening to Barbara for these many years.
Actually, I think it's like 15.
And it's remarkable. But and they haven't, maybe they were members once and they let their membership lapse, or maybe they've meant to do it. They really have meant to do it. I was one of those lurkers once myself.
Or maybe they've been asleep for 15 years.
Well,
woke up and looking at things. Boy, things aren't what I thought they were. What's going on here?
Well, here's what we'd like to do. We'd like to invite you to become a member of KBOO and to thank you for doing that. If you will pledge a membership of $75, which is like 21 cents a day, we'll give you a copy of Scott Ritter's new book, Target Iran, The Truth About the White House's Plans for Regime Change by Someone Who Really Knows. Call 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
And if you're looking for something to listen to in your car in the rare moments that you would turn off KBOO, we have political CDs, different lectures, $60 each, $5 a month. You can get one of Dr. Helen Caldicott, David Corton, Calvin Trillin, or Cindy Sheehan. And again, just keep yourself informed. You can buy it for yourself and give it away as a holiday gift later. But the first thing to do, 503-232-8818, $1,300 to reach our goal.
We want to hear those phones ring. We have Scott on only for about another 15 minutes or so, and we're going to want to be going back and talking to him really soon.
Absolutely.
We got to get some phones ringing before we do that, because we are still pretty far away from our goal. Last week, we surpassed the goal, which made us all very happy.
That's fantastic.
We'd like to do it again this week. It's possible.
Possibly it could be, because I think some of our listeners, and in spite of how hip all our listeners really are, might be stunned by some of the things that they've heard this morning. But I want to thank Krista for renewing from McMinnville. And here's one that's getting me jacked. John, Northeast Portland, new member. Thank you, John.
Right,
welcome,
John,
to KBOO.
That is so wonderful.
Call 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
And, you know, if you think about all the work that Scott Ritter has done, I mean, here's a man who worked within the system, and that's why he speaks with such authority. But there came a moment when he had to say no more, and that the truth had to be told. In honor of that epiphany, in honor of that
courage.
The great courage that Scott Ritter has taken to bring his news, to bring the truth to all of us, give us a call. You know, he's online right now and wants to hear those phones. So call now. We'll still have time to hear the rest of the interview. 1-877-500-5266 if you're outside the listening area.
Thank you,
caller. That's 503-232-8818 if you are here in Portland. And when you call, hey, we got some thank you gifts for you. You've got Scott Ritter's books. We have political CDs, a large Hot Lips pizza.
And you know, we've been getting a lot of calls on the show lately from conservatives. And I was thinking maybe that conservatives should start a support group, conservatives who listen to conservative KBOO listeners, whatever. But I think what was interesting, the first caller that we got, who I didn't quite get what he meant by that, having Scott Ritter on was like showing more diversity than we usually have. Maybe the fact that Scott Ritter has a military background and that he doesn't fit the cliches that some conservatives have of
he needs to listen to our veterans show.
I know. He should listen to more of KBOO, actually.
Exactly.
But for those of you who are new conservative listeners to KABU, you're tuning in either because, and the other thing I was thinking too is other people who are like, you know, like Scott, who really believe very strongly in the American military system and have been disillusioned by the way they've seen that system be used and abused. And if you're somebody who's been having your own personal epiphanies and you've been tuning into KABU and realizing things aren't the way you thought they were or the way they should be, and you also not only are hearing how wrong things are, but you also hear a lot on the station about how to make things right again, and that's why we have people like Scott Ritter on who can really speak truth to power.
Call 503-232-8818. Limited amnesty for any conservative that calls now. 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
And again, to get any of those thank you gifts, it does take a call. If you are one of the conservatives out there and you want to give your friends a great present, this is the number to call. The only place you're going to get these political CDs, KABU t-shirts, a KABU cap, is
and
right
Scott
here, $10
book.
A month. As low as $5 a month, you can get some of those things. But give us a call. You know, Scott Ritter, Barbara Bernstein's been on there 15 years. Think about a dollar for every year that she's been on, $150 pledge.
I've been on for 28 years. It's going to be even more money.
50 cents
and
for
worth
every year.
Every penny, Barbara.
Okay. I want to get back to talking with Scott Ritter. Thanks, Edison and Carol. I'll be back to talk to you in about 10 minutes. And we're back with Scott Ritter, who was one of the top UN weapons inspectors in Iraq between 1991 and 1998, author of many books. His most recent book is Target Iran, The Truth About the White House's Plans for Regime Change. And we're talking today about what's going on with the United States and Iran. But I want to put that in the context of what's happening in North Korea. Here, you write about how the United States has these plans to go to war with Iran because they are supposedly building a nuclear weapon. North Korea has just tested one nuclear weapon. There's talk about the fact that they may be about to test a second one. How does this all fit into some kind of global picture?
Well, the first thing, as reality-based people, we should understand that comparing North Korea with Iran is comparing apples and oranges, and you make a fatal mistake if you combine them together in the same bushel. That's, of course, what the Bush administration would like you to do, because then you fall victim to, you know, the following analytical truisms. We have a nightmare with a nuclear North Korea, and we can't allow the same thing to happen with Iran. And notice the ease in which the Bush administration says this nuclear nightmare in North Korea isn't our fault. It's the fault of the Clinton administration. They're the ones who sat down with the North Koreans and were duped into entering into an arrangement that has resulted in a nuclear-armed North Korea. This is why we cannot allow ourselves to be duped by similar diplomacy with Iran. But, you know, a lot of Americans probably didn't pick up on something that happened yesterday. It was very interesting. The Pentagon came out, you know, and they flew one of their top-secret RC-135 sniffer airplanes over North Korea, and they've confirmed that there was indeed a nuclear test. They've also confirmed that it was a plutonium bomb that the North Koreans tested. Now, what makes this important? You see, if this was all Bill Clinton's fault, his diplomacy set in motion the North Koreans duping us, this means that it would be a uranium weapon, because that's what the Bush administration said. The North Koreans are lying. They've been procuring special technology to enrich uranium, and they're building these bombs. But it's a plutonium weapon, which means that the North Koreans could only rely upon the stockpiles of nuclear fuel that the Clinton administration has successfully locked up. And if we had continued down the path of engagement with the North Koreans, and we'd still have IEA inspectors there, UN nuclear inspectors there, and this plutonium would still be locked up, there wouldn't be a bomb. The North Koreans have a bomb only because of the failure of the Bush administration to continue a process of diplomatic negotiation that had the best interests of the United States in mind, keeping nuclear arms out of the North Koreans' hands. And now we see the United States is, not only have we failed egregiously when it comes to North Korea, but we're heading down the path of failure when it comes to Iran. Iran, surprisingly, you don't hear this on the news, condemned the North Korean nuclear test the moment it occurred. Iran has come out and rejected nuclear weapons. It's a deeply Islamic nation. They take their religion seriously, and they have issued a fatwa, a religious edict, that says nuclear weapons are incompatible with Islam. They don't want nuclear weapons. They aren't pursuing nuclear weapons. But the Bush administration has exploited the fear-based ignorance, or the ignorance-based fear of the American people, to have us lump North Korea and Iran together in the same package and blame all the shortcomings on Clinton and the past policies, and say that the only way forward is with the policies of confrontation that the Bush administration espouses. Ladies and gentlemen, look at Iraq. If there's no other argument I can make to reject the totality of the Bush administration's foreign policy and national security policy, it is to look at Iraq and understand this, that Iran will be orders of magnitude worse.
Now, I want to back up a little bit, and you said that the fact that the bomb that North Korea tested was a plutonium bomb was proof that the Clinton engagement with Korea had worked. What would it have meant if it had been a uranium bomb?
If it had been a uranium bomb, it would have meant that the North Koreans had lied to the United States during the period of time in which we were engaged in this diplomatic process, and had sought out technology and installed technology that would enable them to enrich uranium to levels usable in a nuclear bomb. Then the Bush administration could have said, hey, look, see, it's a uranium weapon. This means that the Clinton negotiated process failed, that the North Koreans could not be trusted. That's why it's important to differentiate that this was a plutonium bomb, not a uranium bomb. The plutonium bomb means that all the North Koreans could do is reprocess the nuclear fuel that already existed in North Korea. And under the Clinton arrangement, that fuel was locked up and accounted for and monitored up until 2003 by international weapons inspectors. But thanks to George Bush calling North Korea the axis of evil, legitimizing regime change as a policy for North Korea, we pushed the North Koreans away. They withdrew from the Non-Proliferation Treaty in a similar manner that we, the United States, withdrew from the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty. I and others said that if we withdraw from the ABM Treaty, we will destabilize the world and we will encourage the proliferation of ballistic missiles and nuclear weapons. North Korea took a cue from the United States, withdrew from the Non-Proliferation Treaty, and then developed a nuclear weapon. And I need to point out, nothing the North Koreans did was illegal. Everything they did was conforming to international law. It may not be good, we may not like it, but we can't call them a criminal regime, because they did it honestly. They sat there and stared Bush in the eye and said, if you're going to engage in this irresponsible actions, you give us no choice but to A, withdraw from the Non-Proliferation Treaty, and B, build a nuclear weapon for what they deem to be their legitimate national security interests.
Well, now that North Korea has nuclear weapons, do you think there's a chance that in 2 years we're going to be talking about plans that the United States has to go in and overthrow the North Korean government? Or do you think that they have such a big bargaining chip now that we can't, that there's no way the United States would try to invade North Korea?
Well, I don't think we have a plan to invade North Korea. I think our military plans have always been defensive in nature. There has been expansions of the military plan now to incorporate moving into a North Korea that has experienced economic and political collapse. But there never has been the notion of a preemptive war of aggression to occupy a regime. What we wanted to do was isolate the North Koreans and destabilize North Korea to the point that the government collapsed, and then we would move in. What this has done is complicate the situation tremendously, because now when the government collapses, you're going to have nuclear fissile material that is unaccounted for, and you're going to have communist cadres seeking to make as much money as possible by selling this on the black market. And if we haven't learned anything based on 9/11, there are a number of outlets out there that would love to buy nuclear fissile material. Not Iran, but non-state players such as Al-Qaeda, who have taken an intense dislike to the United States. So, thanks to George W. Bush, we are empowering the terrorists who want to do harm to us, not weakening them.
Now, one last thing, because we're almost out of time, is to talk a little bit more conclusively about why you know that Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons and that this is more hype of the order of the weapons of mass destruction scare that the Bush administration had put forward about Iraq 4 years ago.
Well, the first thing is you have to parse out the Bush administration's case. They say that such a program exists, but there is a paucity of factually based data to back this up. When pushed, the Bush administration falls back on only one argument, that Iran is an oil-rich nation, awash in a sea of oil, and therefore has no just cause for pursuing nuclear energy. Therefore, we have no choice but to interpret their nuclear energy program as a nuclear weapons program. You know, that's not sound analysis, especially when you realize that in 1976, the then Shah of Iran came to the United States and said, look, we have an oil crisis here. In 40 years, we won't have enough oil to sustain our economy because it's an export economy. We're a developing economy. We're sucking up too much of it domestically. We need an alternative source of energy for domestic use. We want to pursue nuclear energy. And the Bush administration, or the Ford administration said, hey, two thumbs up. You know who was the Secretary of Defense then? Donald Rumsfeld. You know who was the White House Chief of Staff? Dick Cheney. And the Iranians also said it's not just nuclear energy, but because we can't be held hostage to the vagaries of economic sanctions, embargoes, we need to have access to the total fuel cycle, meaning we can produce our own fuel. And the U.S. said, no problem, good to go, we support this. In 1979, the Shah was out, the Islamists were in, and then we blockaded this. The point I'm trying to make is that the Bush administration has not provided any facts to sustain its argument that Iran is pursuing nuclear weapons. Furthermore, international inspectors under the auspices of the International Atomic Energy Agency have gone into Iran, inspected the totality of their declared nuclear infrastructure, found no gaps in their story, and have said there is no evidence whatsoever to sustain the allegations that Iran is pursuing nuclear weapons. They have said that, you know, the scope of our inspections are such that we cannot say that Iran hasn't dug a deep hole and buried stuff underground. We don't know if that has happened, but what we can say is there's no evidence that this has happened. And this is the argument I make, that before we talk about going to war, before we start automatically referring to Iran as a nation pursuing nuclear weapons, we must look at the facts. And the facts simply do not sustain the ideologically driven rhetoric coming out of Washington, D.C.
Well, I've been talking with Scott Ritter, who is the author of Target Iran, a book that you can get as a premium today, a thank you gift if you call 503-232-8818 and become a member of KABU. And Scott Ritter was also top UN weapons inspector in Iraq between 1991 and 1998. Frequently heard on Democracy Now!, occasionally heard here on KABU, and I'm sure we'll be having you back again soon. Thanks a whole lot, Scott, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And now we're going to talk with Carol and Edison, who are a couple studios away from me, about why you should become a member of KABU.
Now there's 4,000 rookies where there have been.
I know that. Yeah, I got that part.
You guys are on.
KBOO, Portland, Oregon. We were just chatting about all the different shows that are going on here and, again,
wow,
reviewing
yes.
Barbara's great history.
Oh.
28 years here putting on this wonderful, getting
That's
these interviews.
That's older than you are.
That's right. And
okay, I'm going to clarify it. I've been doing this show for 15 years. I did music shows before that.
So my whole cable history is 28 years as a child.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
So 15 years of support for Barbara translates to $1 a year. That's $150. We want you to pledge right now to make our goal. And then let's subtract 28 minus 15 leaves you about 7. So let's do $10 a year for that. That's $70 a year to support the great work of Barbara Bernstein. Give us a call, 503-232-8818, and become part of this empowered KABU family.
And follow up on this great interview by calling and pledging a $75 membership and receive a copy of the book Target Iran, The Truth About the White House's Plans for Regime Change. Excellent book written by Scott Ritter, an excellent interview. We're learning so much this morning, and I can't wait to read it myself. Call 503-232-8818. I'm going to say that one again real slow in case you need to write it down. 503-232-8818. And outside the calling area, 1-877-500-5266. If you're online, listening to us streaming online on the internets going through those tubes. You can join there by just clicking the Join Now button when you go to KBOO.FM, KBOO.FM.
And I want to interject for one moment to let you know more reasons why you should be calling those numbers, which again are 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. Because coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 o'clock, Northwest Vets for Peace hosts Veterans Voice. And it's for that conservative call we had first off to let you know that we have other veterans' voices on the air besides Scott Ritter, and we have quite an array of programming. At 10 o'clock, to go the other side of the spectrum here, we've got Andrew Geller, and his guest on People Rise Up is Heather Coburn Flores, author of Food Not Lawns, How to Turn Your Yard into a Garden and Your Neighborhood into a Community. At 11 o'clock, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. At 12 noon on Alternative Radio, hear Noam Chomsky on Latin America, Stirrings in the Servants' Quarters. It's Chomsky's first full-length interview since Hugo Chavez's UN speech, which made Chomsky's name world-famous and his books bestsellers on Amazon.com.
Wow, and you can have all this for just 16 cents a day. That is a $60 yearly pledge to get this great programming. You know, the sad news, Barbara, is we still have like $1,200 left to go.
We got 9 minutes to do it, folks.
And 9 minutes. So
we
this
can
is
do that.
This is the 9 minute call, the 9 minute the warning signal that we're going to hear is we want to hear phone after phone after phone ringing to support this fantastic programming.
You know, it doesn't matter so much how much you actually pledge.
So how much would help? So we need like somebody should need to donate about $1,000 right now.
That would only be $2.74 a day, by the way, if you do want to pledge $1,000. But what I think we really do want you to do is call and tell us that you are supporting this kind of programming. That's more important to us than money. We have a low income membership at $20 a year. Our basic membership hasn't changed. It's still $40 a year. That's 16 cents a day, for crying out loud. But we do ask that you maybe consider something like a $75 membership, and that way we could send you a copy of Scott Ritter's book, Target Iran, The Truth About the White House's Plans for the Regime Change, with some just shocking information in it that doesn't seem to be getting the attention it should. And you can help spread that information to your friends, to your circle of influence, because we do need to know this. This is about our country, and this is about our radio station.
It
call 503-232-8818.
Painless ways to donate to KBOO is to get it coming out of your checking account, so you won't notice that $5 a month or that $10 a month, because let's face it, sometimes it's hard to come up with the cash. We're going to take a
moment. This just in, Barbara. We have Becky and Beverly and Kevin have all renewed from Portland, Sandy, and Corvallis, respectively. And here's the great news. Marion, a new member from Southwest Portland, and Mark, a new member in Southeast Portland. Thank you very much. Welcome to KBOO.
Thanks. And we know there's more of you out there. Again, when Barbara's reading off the list of what's coming up today, I'm sitting here writing down, wow, I want to listen to that. I want to listen to that. And to me, you know, that is worth the money that I'm spending in my membership. If that's worth it to you, 503-232-8818. Give us a call. Support Barbara's show. She's been on the air a while, bringing just dynamic and powerful radio to you every single Wednesday morning. 503-232-8818 is the number to call.
We'd also like to thank some local businesses that also support this kind of programming. And for example, today, Cooper's Coffee at 6041 Southeast Stark, Old Wives Tales at 1300 East Burnside,
and
Palm
news
Beachy
note,
at 2811.
$955 left. So we did get a big rush of $445, but we still have that few minutes left.
You've
to make the goal for this show. $955. We set the goals realizing, you know, this is what we expect the listeners
and
to
we can
contribute.
Do it. We did it last week. We passed the goal last week. We can do it again. And I want people to think about how important KBOO is to this community. And this is becoming a cliche, but I know that every time Noam Chomsky comes to town or Howard Zinn comes to town, they talk about how they can tell how strong the community radio station is in this town by the huge turnouts that they have. I mean, I remember seeing Howard Zinn at Portland State a few years ago, and the fire alarms kept going off because the ballroom was just stuffed to capacity. And I've seen these same people in other towns, big cities actually, that don't have the community radio stations, that don't have any community radio stations, and actually have smaller audiences for events like that than KBOO has. KBOO has, you know, think about the immense peace marches that we have and all kinds of incredible organizing that's going on. And a lot of it starts here at KBOO.
Absolutely.
And we need your help now to help us be the seat. We're the seedbed for so much of what happens at KBOO.
Yeah, help us drop this number. It went down to $835 left to go. That's just a few pledges of $10 a month. People
just a couple more
in.
Calls, and
yeah,
we can actually knock this thing down. I know we can do that. 503-232-8818, 1-877-500-5266. To be able to provide this kind of programming, we come to you twice a year, and we ask you to help us so that we can meet our budget. We don't overspend, unlike the government. We actually live within our means. But we are able to do things like the folks that Barbara just talked about. We also attract guests like Scott Ritter today and others that Barbara has had on her show in the past, because they know that the audience they're going to be speaking to understand what's going on.
I had Elizabeth Holzman on last week, who
exactly.
was a former congresswoman from New York.
She has articulated the articles of impeachment already.
Right. And I was talking to her agent when I was arranging for her to come on, and he was asking, are you an NPR station? I said, well, actually, we're not. We are an independent station. And he says, oh, well, that's so much better. And then he sort of figured out who KBOO was, and he remembered us, and like, yeah, you're a really great station. But the people like Elizabeth Holzman and Scott Ritter and Jeff Cohen and all the people that we've been having on the show really appreciate being able to be on KBOO as opposed to being on more mainstream public radio, because there is so much more freedom here to really have people say what they really need to say.
We need your help to be able to continue to say what needs to be said, to have the freedom to speak truth to power. Call 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
4 minutes left to make
this
call.
That's right. And if you woke up this morning thinking a little bit upset about the world, you listen to Scott's story about a possible invasion of Iran,
and you get more upset.
You get more upset, but you think, what can I do? Well, one thing you can do is keep this community radio station alive and kicking by making that call. Empower yourself and empower the station. 503-232-8818. What we're talking about here is just a few people to call in with a $5 a month pledge or a $10 a month pledge will set us way over our goal.
You know, if you can't pay us right now, we'll send you a bill and you can send us a check later on, or you can come by later on. We have a million different ways. I made that up.
Okay, actually, I want to interject for 1 second because I got to get out of here so that the vets can come in and you guys will keep talking.
Yeah.
But I want to say I'm not going to be here for the next 2 weeks because I'm going back east. So there's going to be some really fine programming while I'm gone. I will come back fully charged from having been to the Society of Environmental Journalists Conference in Vermont. So I'm sure that when I come back, actually it's going to be the day after Election Day, and we're going to have an Election Day, post-Election Day special, and I hope we're celebrating. So anyway, that's what to look forward to on November 8th. And in the meantime, there'll be some really great guests for the next couple of weeks. And now Carolyn Edison, raise a lot
Safe
of money.
Safe journey, Barbara. Right. Thank you so much.
I want to thank Barbara Bernstein for putting all the years in here at KBOO, as well as all the other volunteers. Here in the studio, we have a whole slew of volunteers that have been here, some since 6 o'clock this morning, waiting to answer the call. So while you were sleeping, they were here making money for KBOO. So 503-232-8818. Just give us a call, start your day off, and say, we love you, KBOO. Spread some love.
You know, it's not well known to everyone, although I'm sure some of our listeners probably know this. We have over about 500 people that actually work here at KBOO. But we only have 10 people that we actually pay to work here. Everyone else is a volunteer. People like Barbara Bernstein, she is a volunteer. The quality of the programming of the volunteers here at KBOO is known nationwide, and dare I say even worldwide. People understand that we know what we're doing. We're trying to provide those subject matter experts to you, to people that don't get this information anywhere else. The corporate-owned media simply is not interested in putting something like this out. I saw an interesting thing just the other day comparing news sources from outside the United States to the news sources in the United States. And you might recall just recently Newsweek changed their cover for the United States version of what they were talking about. It was about Iraq for the rest of the world. For us, it was about something a little sillier. And that's because maybe we can't handle the truth. But we can handle the truth here at KBOO. Call 503-232-8818. Help us. 1-877-500-5266.
Okay, and if you need a little enticement, if you are donating money to KBOO, we do have some thank you gifts. You're driving to work and you want to put a CD in. The CD you want to put in is Cindy Sheehan. We have a political CD that's available for you at $5 a month. That's a $60 pledge a year that'll help us keep us keep on the air, Calvin Trillin, Dr. Helen Caldicott, and David Corton. Also, we can give you can get a set of four political CDs that you can later package up and give away as Christmas presents.
You know,
that
for 49 cents a day, you can put cable on the air for an hour. Mm-hmm. It's $180 an hour for us to broadcast. But if you can't do $180, then how about $60?
What we're looking at is to make the program goal. We have right now about $700 left to go. So we have had some calls, but certainly not calls that represent the number of listeners out there. So we're having a great time here, but we want you to join us in this little morning party we're having here at the station, 503-232-8818. This morning we had Scott Ritter on air, a man who was a UN weapons inspector, spent much of his majority of his career working within the system. So now's the time to join KABU.
It's 9 a.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Dang, man, this is a long week. So what you doing this weekend?
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm just going to hang out with my girl, you know, chill.
Nah, man, don't hang out with the girl. I'm going to take you somewhere.
Well, where are you going to take me?
Hold up. I'll tell you right now.
All right.
Deck out in your funkiest Halloween costume for the KABU Boo Bash. This fundraiser will be broadcast live and features a wide range of Portland's best underground musical talent, including Fleshstone, D&D, Evolutionary Jazz Band, DJ P-Disco, and much more. The party takes place at Holocene, located at 1001 Southeast Morrison, on Halloween night, Tuesday, October 31st, from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. For more information, please check out KABU on the web at kabu.fm.
And coming right up, 9 a.m., Northwest Vets for Peace, host Veterans Voice. At 10, Andrew Gallo's guest on People Rise Up is Heather Coburn Flores, author of Food Not Lawns, How to Turn Your Yard into a Garden and Your Neighborhood into a Community. At 11, it's Democracy Now! And at 12 noon on Alternative Radio, hear Noam Chomsky on Latin America, Stirrings in the Servants' Quarters. It's Chomsky's first full-length interview since Hugo Chavez's Unspeech, which made Chomsky's world... let me go back. Which made Chomsky's name world famous and his book's bestsellers. That was a tongue twister this morning. Okay. And Veterans Voice.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist.
Yeah, go ahead and bring it down and we're good to go. Good morning and welcome to Veterans Voice. This is JT and I'm with Marvin. And boy, have we got a great show for you today. We're just glad that you tuned in today. We have a wonderful guest in studio, as they say. I call it in the studio, but radio people say in studio. And we're going to introduce you to him in a little bit, and we're just real honored to have that. This is a special time, of course, at KBOO, and so we want you to have your checkbooks ready and so forth. We'll get to that in a little bit. A couple of things are special today. Kate is filling in today as our engineer, and we thank her for that. It's a real pleasure to have you with us. Tammy is off for a little while, and I know Tammy pretty well, and I suspect that you're listening, Tammy, and I want you to know that our thoughts and prayers are with you, and we hope that you'll be back with us soon, and believe me, you are missed, and we haven't forgotten you, and we hope to see you soon. Bill Byers is almost always here, the grand old man of the outfit, but he's at a doctor's appointment this morning, generally doing quite well, though. So, Mr. Bill, if they have you on in the doctor's office, good morning to you also. Marvin, of course, is here and, as usual, has a few little announcements and things for us before we get started. And so, yeah. Marvin, good to see you this morning.
Yeah, good to see you too, John. Like we talked about last month, Left to Die, Causeway Concentration Camp, New Orleans, USA, 2005. It's going to be shown Wednesday, September 27th at 7 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater. And that's at 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. And admission is $7, $5 for students and seniors. That's a pretty good one. And also it's going to be Breaking the Silence. Two former Israeli soldiers are going to talk about their experience serving in the Israeli occupation of the West Bank. And that's going to be Tuesday, November 7th, also at 7 p.m. And it's going to be at the Friends Meeting Hall at 4312 Southeast Stark Street. And those both look pretty good to have. And The Road to Guantanamo, The Prisoners Speak, is going to be shown on Friday, October 20th, and at Saturday, October 21st, at the White Sail Auditorium at the Portland Art Museum at 1219 Southwest Park at $7. And it's going to be good about the Road to Guantanamo, The Prisoners Speak. And that'll be a good one to see also. So those are the three I've got today. And remember, the anti-personnel landmines, they still haven't signed the protocol, guys. Haven't signed the protocol to that, so we got to keep on going.
We mention that every time, almost, on the program, and that's important because I look back through history. It was interesting, Marv, I was watching on PBS a little bit some of the history of the of the movement in the South from the 60s and the struggle with the race problems and so forth. And you look and you think of the number of years that something was wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And how long it took to make right. But because people never gave up.
That's exactly right.
And they continued to fight for what was right. And that's one of the reasons we thank KBOO Radio
because they're
willing to continually put the time into putting the effort and the time into fighting for what is right. And that's one of the things that we want to do on Veterans Voice and have tried to continue to do is sometimes it looks discouraging. It looks like maybe something's not happening, but we keep on because what's right is right, and we have to keep on going for that. And the landmines is certainly one of them.
Definitely.
And they're continuing to do tremendous damage at a tremendous cost to not only human life, but also just in physical things. Oh. And it's one of the absolutely most insane, ridiculous things that we have in the world today. And the United States needs to get on board and lead the way. And I think one of the things we look at the United States and how the world views us in so much of a negative light, as well they should because of the things we do like this. And here's an opportunity for the United States to say, we're going to lead the way, we're going to put a stop to the landmines, and we're going to put not only that, but we're going to put dollars into cleaning up the ones, because even if they put billions of dollars into it, it's going to take decades to clean up what's already out there. It's
absolutely insane.
And, Marvin, don't you think, isn't it a wonderful opportunity for the United States to take a lead in the world?
it's like
a no-brainer.
Yep, it's no-brainer.
And so, is it time for a pitch already?
All right.
Listen, this is a special time. We came on the air, and Marvin and I, sometimes I can't remember exactly when, except I remember
92.
It was the fall of the year. And so it's been about 13 years or more, or 14. And when you first come on to KBOO Radio, you got to have a little training. And Emily trained us way back then, and I tell you, none of us look a day older. And I'm serious. You can see us right here on radio.
All right,
Emily, I'm glad you're here. You want to take it away for us, Emily?
Emily,
she's tongue tied.
I am tongue tied. I wasn't sure I was actually on before I said anything. Yeah, you know, it was funny because Kate, who was a trainee, a disciple, if you will, of my training, is here engineering, and she just trained explained me. And also sitting with me is Liam. He couldn't be more spot on for me. Ooh. Is someone else who I trained, and it was, seemed so trepidatious. And those are always the good students because, of course, 2 weeks later he was training me, and now is both Kate and him are helpful in every way around the station. And it's because of people like that and people like you who call in with your money and help support KBOO that we stay on the air. And, of course, Veterans Voice is very, very important program. Please
503-232-8818.
That's right. You need to call and show your appreciation. And, of course, we're looking at here are some things that were brought back by Larry, I believe, from, was it Larry, or they're off, are they? I want to keep talking to him. make him talk to me.
Hey, I brought those back from Vietnam. This is Marvin. And I brought those gifts I want to do from Vietnam to everybody, you know, that donates to KBOO. They're pretty nice gifts.
They are. One of them is a pillow sham cover that's obviously been, it's actually gorgeous. And then the other one is the People's War, People's Army. And
by General Zapp.
Yeah, General Zapp.
Right.
And can you tell the folks a little bit about this author and what is the...
General Zapp was the architect of the Battle of Dien Bien Phu that kicked the French out, and he's also was the architect of the 1968 Tet Offensive in Vietnam that really showed the American people that the war, we were really losing the war. And he's probably, after Ho Chi Minh, he's probably... the most famous of all the Vietnamese, to the Vietnamese. He's still alive. He's in his 90s, and he lives in Hanoi very simply. And that he wrote that book, and it was published by Thế Giới Publishing, which is really a big publishing house in Hanoi. It's ran by a friend of mine. And the book is really interesting. He talks a lot about the things, you know, of the wars. And also the it's a wall hanging. It's not a... The other thing is a wall
hanging. Oh, it's not
a
pillow sham?
No, it's a wall hanging. And that was
beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Yeah, and that was made by some kids that I watched them make different, you know, things like that. And they were outside of Hanoi, and I watched them make those.
Well, what this beautiful wall hanging is for everybody who's listening, and also there's a spirit... rejector wall hanging, and I love the idea of that. And this is beautiful, and the colors are reminiscent of some of the Maori artwork, and some of the actually Northwest Indigenous folks up here artwork. It's some oranges and blacks, and it looks like it has a reflective sort of buff center. And this is to a spirit rejector.
Yeah, what that is in the homes in Vietnam above the door. See, spirits can only travel straight line. And so they put this above their doors, and if the spirit comes and they see that, it'll reject them, and they'll go away. And you know, I think every house I ever went into in Vietnam has one of those above their door.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah,
so for
great.
A $60 minimum pledge, in other words, you can pledge more, folks. And right now we have a goal of, what is our goal for this program? Does anyone know?
I'm getting there.
Say it's $500 because I said so, and you're going to call in right now and give us $500 or perhaps at least $60 for this wonderful spirit rejector wall hanging. And the number to call to support Veterans Voice and KBOO and wonderful free speech, thank you very much, is 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. Why should they call, Liam?
You should call because this is a community, and this is what it's about. We're making radio, and you're making radio by being a part of it, by being a member. So you should call right now and become a member if you're not already. And if you are a member, like for this, if you give $5 a month, then why don't you just increase it to $10 a month? It won't make that much difference, and it'll mean a lot to us, and you'll make the community stronger. 503-232-8818.
Well, guess what? The wall hanging is gone, but we still have the spirit rejector for a $60 minimum pledge for a membership, actually, I should say. We say pledge here, and I keep forgetting. I need to slap myself. I've been here too long.
Yeah, it's the members that make us strong. We'd rather have, you know, 50 members giving $50 a month than one member giving $25,000.
That's right. We prefer to be answerable to the people, unlike, well, perhaps our government at this time. So the number is 1-877-500-5266. If you're outside the Portland area, we're looking for new members. We're looking for renewing members. We're asking you to call right now. We've got people sitting, by the phone. 503-232-8818. In addition to the wall hanging, of course, remember we have for this particular program special, the Memoirs of War, People's War, People's War, People's Army by General Zapp. And actually, it's a beautiful little book, and I believe that what he said is this gives a perspective of why Vietnam was a mistake. Perhaps maybe in a few years it will be okay for us to have a book about why this war was a mistake.
Or mission rejected, U.S. soldiers who say no to Iraq for a minimum $60 pledge.
So we need you to call right now, 503-232-8818. Join KBOO. We're going back to the programming.
Great.
And thank you very much, all of you that have called in. We really appreciate it. Marvin, I want to report.
Left to Die Causeway Concentration Camp, New Orleans. They've moved it. It's going to be at the Clinton Street Theater on the 9th of November at 7 p.m. And so Elizabeth Atlees, looks like she's moved it to the Clinton Street. So, and if you want information on that, you can call her 503-281-4215. Sorry, Elizabeth.
And thank you again for listening to Veterans Voice on KBOO Portland. Our guest today in the studio is really,
is great.
It's really great. We're just so honored to have Larry Scott with us today. And he's from
VA Watchdog.
VA Watchdog. That's all you need to put into your computer, and the web page will come up, and it's full of information.
You can
Larry.
Hi.
Thank
there.
You.
Hey,
Larry.
You can throw a .org or a .com behind there.
Yeah, .org or .com will come up.
And I feel right at home here because I broke my teeth in radio at KPFA in Berkeley. Pacifica radio back in the 60s and early 70s. So membership drives, I'm familiar with.
Oh, yeah, very important. Larry's web page is, it's a great web page, and I go on it all the time to look up stuff. And Larry probably knows more about what's going on than even what's the guy's name that runs the VA? What's his name?
R. James Nicholson.
Yeah,
also
Nicholson.
Also known as Jim Nicholson.
Yeah, so Larry knows more about it than he does. One thing that really interests me, Larry, talk about the latest Agent Orange thing that just I saw that, and it is ugly.
Now there are a couple of issues, Marvin, on Agent Orange. When are you talking about
the
Air Force Ranchan study where denying a link to cancer?
And it's going to be the last.
There's
study.
One with the Navy. Isn't it combined with the Navy on that, Larry?
There are two separate issues. The Air Force had for about 25 years been doing a study called Ranch Hand, and they were looking at Air Force personnel exposed to Agent Orange, and their final report was due. And they have completely rejected the research that their primary researchers had given them, which showed an incredible link between Agent Orange and specific cancers. And it also showed...
Say that one more time.
A definite link between Agent Orange and specific cancers. There's a whole list of them.
Mm-hmm.
The study also showed, and this is what threw the Air Force for a loop, and that was the longer the exposure, and the more the exposure, the risk of cancer was much, much higher in those veterans.
Wow.
They have rejected this information. It will not be included in their final report.
Wow, and when's that supposed to come out?
That was supposed to be out on September 30th. I haven't seen it yet.
But
that's not the point. The report is going to be a bogus report. It's going to be highly edited. The latest information, the latest science. You know, we talk about this administration as being anti-science. I really believe that's so, because we're developing the science now to link Agent Orange dioxins to specific cancers. and they're completely denying the existence of this information and will not include it in this report. And this has a bearing on veterans now.
Yep.
Those veterans who are going to be filing claims for Agent Orange exposure. We know that Agent Orange leads to late onset diabetes. There are a whole list of cancers. There are birth defects you can pass on, spina bifida.
Yeah, that's a big one.
It is a big one. So that's the latest from the Agent Orange research front. Mm-hmm. The other one...
Now, who's supposed to give this report? This report was done by
the Air Force.
The Air Force itself.
Right.
And the Air Force should be looking out for their personnel, correct?
That's the theory.
That's the theory. And I don't see... The only thing I can say is you have two things. Bold-faced lies and a cover-up.
What they're doing is they're claiming a conflict of interest is what they're doing. They're saying this researcher developed a lot of his information while he was doing research at a university prior to signing on to this study, and he carried over his research and his data into the Air Force study.
Good for him.
Therefore, good for him. Yeah, yes, exactly. Which is the whole point of research,
right?
And they're saying, therefore, the Air Force is claiming that this particular researcher came in with a bias because he had this information previously. Now, that doesn't indicate bias to me. That just indicates that he'd done research previously. But the Air Force is claiming. And they have no evidence to back this up, but they're claiming a bias on this information, and they're disregarding this huge volume of research that, again, definitively shows the longer you were exposed, the more you were exposed to Agent Orange and other dioxin substances, the more likely you are to have any number of cancers and extremely bad cancers.
Yeah. So the effect on the veteran is what?
The effect on the veteran is, from this study, is it's easier for the VA to say no.
This ties in
with something else. And this ties in with the VA's definition of who served in Vietnam. And this is a separate case that goes completely apart. And I think, JT, this is what you were talking about, too.
Right.
And that's what we call the Haas, H-A-A-S case, the Haas case before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veteran Claims.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is important.
This is extremely important. What Mr. Haas argued and his attorneys argued before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims, believe it or not, we have so many claims that are denied, we actually had to set up a separate Court of Appeals for those veterans. Mm-hmm. Most people aren't aware of this court. This is the last step for a veteran. If their claim has been turned down, if it's gone before the Veterans Board of Appeals and that's been turned down, then they can go to the court. What happened was, Mr. Haas and his attorneys argued that the VA's definition of who served in Vietnam was wrong. The VA has always claimed you had to be boots on the ground. Now, mm-hmm. what they meant by boots on the ground in Vietnam was you were actually stationed in Vietnam. They used, and it didn't matter, for a day, an hour, a year, three tours, it made no difference. But if you were boots on the ground, then you were eligible to file a claim for exposure to Agent Orange and some of the ongoing medical problems that were associated with that. And now those problems with Agent Orange have become presumptive. The evidence is so overwhelming that the VA has finally said, if you were boots on the ground in Vietnam, you were exposed to Agent Orange. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you can file a claim. Also, the diseases have become presumptive. They say, if you were exposed to Agent Orange, then it is presumed you can and most likely will develop late-onset diabetes and a huge long list of cancers. It's really too long to go into here now. So that's good news for veterans. However, this left out a huge group of veterans, what we call the Blue Water Navy.
Yeah.
These were the Navy personnel that served offshore and never stepped foot on land, except they transported Agent Orange in the 55-gallon drums. They launched planes that, in some cases, sprayed it, and in many cases, they were close enough to shore for the Agent Orange to actually drift offshore onto their ship.
Sure.
This also cut out, besides Blue Water Navy, the fly-through Air Force. These were people who transported Agent Orange and who worked at the air bases where it was sprayed, but they were never technically stationed in Vietnam. You could have been stationed at McCord, flown into any number of air bases in Vietnam, unloaded your load, done an overnight turnaround, and fly back home. A lot of Air Force personnel did. It cut them out. It also cut out service personnel who were serving in adjoining countries or nearby countries, Laos, Cambodia, Thailand. Okay, those three countries. Right. So you have a few million veterans who've been denied Agent Orange benefits because the VA, the Department of Veterans Affairs, has said you must be boots on the ground. What happened in the court? Mr. Haas, a veteran, a Blue Water Navy veteran, and his attorneys argued this is ridiculous. The Department of Defense, DOD, has always used the Vietnam Service Medal, the VSM, as a determinator for who served in Vietnam. Now, to get a VSM, you either had to be in Vietnam or serve in support of the war in Vietnam. So that included our friends, the Blue Water Navy, the Fly-Through Air Force, and Laos, Cambodia, and Thailand personnel as well. The VA has denied this for years. The court finally slapped them down and said, this is an absurd regulation. You must open up all of these veterans to claims. Here's what happened. The court handed down its decision. Normally in a court case, if you don't agree with it, you would get a stay from the court and say, no, we want a stay of this judgment because we're going to appeal it. The VA just said to heck with it. They didn't ask for a stay. And they said, we might appeal it. Now, the VA can't appeal directly because of the way the regulations are set. They have to use the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, to appeal. So what the VA did is, and we found this out through the back door, because they certainly didn't tell anybody. They have taken all of these claims from Blue Water Navy, Fly-Through Air Force, and adjoining countries, and they've set them on the back burner. They just set them off to the side. Mm-hmm. They refuse to process them. They refuse to adjudicate them. And we're talking about the health, the well-beings, and yay, the lives of who knows how many veterans, in the hundreds of thousands, if not a couple, three million veterans. The VA refused to process. Okay, so, and that's where we stand right now.
So in essence, what they've done is a really kind of sneaky, devious move by not saying yes or no. They're just saying we'll consider it later.
Right. And well, here's what's happened just in the last few days. And I got a note from Richard Spatero, who's a staff attorney at the National Veterans Legal Services Program in Washington, D.C. Okay. Rich Spatero has filed a writ of mandamus with the court, requesting that the court order the VA to immediately begin processing these claims. Now, where we stand right now is the VA has to respond to that writ by the 26th of this month. We have just found out also that the VA has asked the Department of Justice, our Attorney General, to appeal this decision. Basically, they don't want all these other veterans to get these benefits.
Right.
The Republican political appointees who run the VA, darn them, have said, no, we're going to appeal this decision. We don't want to do it. They have to, by November 7th, file their appeal. So we're keeping an eye on this. But right now, these veterans are locked out.
You brought up a real interesting point, because we tend to think that most of the people in Congress are probably for the veterans. And, in fact, you have a wonderful web page there that gives a report on all of those. Just real briefly, I haven't gotten a signal yet on a break, but I think we got a couple minutes.
They're ready.
Are they ready? When we come back, I want Larry to talk a little bit about that on the congressional size, but our friend Emily is ready because we still have some room for you to donate, and we really appreciate that. Veterans Voice has always been one of the ones that people give very well, too, and we're counting on you today to go ahead and make that call. Emily, what do you have?
Well, JT, I want you to stay on for just a minute, if that's okay, because I want to ask Larry why, if he gets this much airtime anywhere else.
Do I get this much?
Yeah, Larry, where else are you being heard in Portland?
Well, actually, the fact is, when I leave here, I'm heading right over, if I may say, I'm heading right over to the KPOJ studios, because I do a weekly live shot on Air America Radio nationwide.
So you but are only, being heard, huh?
But it's only 7 minutes a week, so it's not like having an hour, and my heart is here, because my heart has always been with community radio. As I said earlier, that's where I started. KBOO and the other community radio stations around this country offer something you cannot get anywhere else.
Yep, nowhere.
That's an amen.
And right now, we have a challenge match on Veterans Voice. You guys, it's time to double your money. Every pledge that you call in during this program, up to a total of $500, will be matched by an anonymous KBOO member. There are only, I don't know, what do we have, 15 minutes? No, we have 2 minutes. We have 3 minutes. How much time do we have left? We have the rest of the show. We have the whole show. We have a whole half hour ready For you to make your gift count twice, you need to call right now, 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. That's 503-232-8818. We also have, just right here in front of me, I see we have mission-rejected U.S. soldiers who say no to Iraq for a $60 minimum pledge. This is a shattering journey of revelation, pain, and betrayal. If you call in right now, not only will you get that book at your $60 and your membership card and all its privileges, you will also get, you will double your money. So that'll be $120.
Wow.
And you need to do that right now. Yeah. And right now it's more important than ever to call in and to support free speech radio, people. This is what this is. 503-232-8818. This can be your act of resistance, actually.
This is people's radio. This is a model of what's coming next. After the dinosaur of this capitalist monstrosity crumbles to the ground, there will be new institutions like KABU. And, people's food. We are not only chronicling the last days of empire, we are going to be part of the new order. And you can be part of it by calling 503-232-8818 and become a member.
Yeah, even, can't they, if they're already a member, they can up their monthly or pledge,
right?
Yeah, just a couple of dollars more a month, and it makes a lot of difference to us, and it won't hurt a bit.
Is the book still available in the wall hanging?
The wall hanging was taken, but we still have the spirit rejector, which I love the idea.
Oh man, I tell you folks, that is an amazing thing.
It's beautiful.
It's great. I tell you, in Vietnam, everywhere I go, they have those, and you just hang it up on your above your door. And it's great.
It's charming. Great. And like I said, if it happens to go with your house, if you happen to have any yellow or red in your home or some black, and it's just beautiful. And I like the idea of it, too. Actually, it would go with anything.
Yeah.
A spirit rejector. But you need to call right now to double your money in the next half hour for Veterans Voice. Right now, we're asking you to call and support Veterans Voice and radio like Veterans Voice. Radio that you're not going to hear anywhere else.
Right.
503-232-8818. At least to the depth and level that you'll hear it here.
Or Emily, can I add one little thing here?
What's that?
I know that most of you listening realize that every program that comes on does cost some money. And KABU kind of splits that out. And so there's a certain amount of money that it costs for Veterans Voice every time. And we really count on you to make pledges during our time to show that there are enough of you to cover the costs of that program. And we don't want to run a little shy of that. I really don't think we're in danger of being cut from the radio, but at the same time, we count on you to show that you're going to give the money to say that you want Veterans Voice to stay on KBOO radio. So the money is important to keeping this vital program on the air, is it not, Emily?
It absolutely is, and you know, as Per, I always hear Per Fagren say, we don't have a palatial, you know, wonderful studios here at KABU. We do have some nice equipment. However, equipment needs to be updated, and it breaks and it wears out. We just replaced two turntables. We've had microphones that the screws get stripped. All sorts of things happen that we need to keep replacing. Plus, we have electricity, all these things that we need to keep this thing well oiled. We have over 500 volunteers, and we still need the cash, you know, to survive. So 503-232-8818. Right now, Liam, isn't it a good time to think good thoughts?
This is definitely the time to think good thoughts. There's going to be a ray from a parallel universe, Universe 2, which is going to intersect right today. And so that will amplify your good energy 1 million times.
Plus, it
doubles your donation is doubled because of this matching grant.
That's right.
And you can get Cindy Sheehan's book, Not One More Mother's Child.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, is that the 1-877 number still good?
It is. It is. If you're outside the Portland area and you'd like to get a copy of Mission Rejected because you don't want to try to navigate the jamming that they've got on the internet, Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Say No to Iraq, Peter Laufer, 503-232-8818 for your $60 minimum pledge. You can become a member of KABU, receive our program guide, and find out when everything's playing. Plus, you get, here you can see a book, Mission Rejected, and also you can find out when we're having special programs, for instance, on Veterans Voice, when they're going to be airing and having different guests on, because you'll have the program guide being mailed to your home. Also, another idea is gift memberships. You can call in right now at 503-232-8818, and you can have People's War, People's Army sent to that person who's still a little bit resistant, perhaps somebody in the White House administration you'd like to make a member of KABU.
A different point of view.
That's right, and give them a gift membership. We can, for as low as $40, you can send somebody at the White House, People's War, People's Army, or Mission Rejected. You could send the whole dang White House a copy of this book. 503-232-8818. Every thought, every feeling right now is magnified, according to Liam, and I believe everything this man says, pretty much.
Yes, the energy. It's a magenta ray that is intersecting our universe just for one day right now, and it'll amplify your good energy 1 million times. Plus, it's double your money while you, if you support right now, because there's a matching grant. And you can have the Spirit Rejector or Mission Rejected, People's Army, People's War, Not One More Mother's Child. We have some great stuff here. Plus, you're a member of KABU.
We're selling you acceptance and rejection all in the same breath. 503-232-8818. Veterans Voice, again, radio, you're not going to get anywhere else. We do have other books available, and we do have lovely phone answerers that will go through some of the list with you for some of the other thank you gifts that we have. But what we're looking for now are new members, and we want to thank some members. Who are we thanking today?
We want to thank Lisa and Elaine and Martha, Elaine from Beaverton, and we want to thank the restaurants, Cooper's Coffee at 60th and Stark, Old Wives Tales, out here by KABU at 1300 Burnside, and Pombiche on Gleason.
And Lisa is a new member, and Martha is a new member, and new, shiny, and new members. We like those shiny new members. Call up and give us some more. Remember, right now is the time to double your money for Veterans Voice. And
your energy is amplified a million times.
And to send a message to the people when they hear those phones ringing and they know that you're calling up and picking up these books, because, oh, maybe they're listening. I don't know. Maybe they are. 503-232-8818. You're listening because you're intelligent, and maybe now it's time to step up to the plate and hit one out of the park for KABU. What do you say? Come on, 503-232-8818.
Great.
That's what you have to do.
Great. Right now.
We really appreciate all of you that have called in, and the new members. Welcome to Veterans Voice on KBOO Radio. We've been here for about 13 years plus. Today is a really important day. We have Larry Scott from VA Watchdog with us. And, Larry, I want to go right back to you. We're talking about some of the bottleneck here is, you say, why can we have, what's happening in Congress? Aren't they behind the veterans?
There's an awful lot of verbal support for veterans, JT and Marvin. As we know, everyone supports veterans. We see the yellow ribbons on the SUVs. I just saw a marvelous video the other night. I can't remember where it was, but just type in yellow ribbon SUV, and I think it'll pop up on one of these video sites. But it was a takeoff on tie a yellow ribbon.
Right? Oh, right.
And it was stick another magnet on your SUV, and it was just an incredible shot at our government, how they twist the language and twist the message to the point of where people actually believe if they spend $3.97 somewhere for a yellow magnet and stick it on their car, that they're supporting our troops.
Love to ask him. I said, "That's great. I'm glad you're supporting your troops." I said, "How are you doing that?"
Yes, and how
and
are
you?
And
you get
you
a blank look.
You do. And how are you supporting the veterans? Because a lot of people don't take the time to really realize every one of those troops will become a veteran, just like the three of us here in this room.
You bet.
Every one of them will be a veteran. Every one of them is going to need some type of help in the future. Right now, out of the over 500,000 troops that have been discharged since OEF, Operation Enduring Freedom, and Operation Iraqi Freedom, we call it OEF, OIF, has begun, more than one-third have sought assistance from the VA.
Wow.
Okay. Of those, we're not sure, because there are so many different ways to look at these numbers, but of those people seeking help, anywhere, one survey says 12, one survey says 19, one survey says 30%. Are seeking help for mental health issues and having symptoms associated with PTSD. Why are we having the great funding issues we are? And we are. It's very simple. Underfunding of the VA leads to understaffing of the VA leads to either delayed or denied health care for veterans. And these are benefits that these veterans have been promised. That's obviously one of the allures a very alluring part of being in the military, that you're going to be cared for when you get out. It isn't happening. It just isn't happening. The Government Accountability Office, that marvelous nonpartisan arm of Congress, has issued three reports this year about VA funding. The first one, an absolutely damning report where the Government Accountability Office actually came out and said that the political appointees who run the Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA, bowed to pressure from the White House and lowered their budget numbers to meet White House expectations. The VA knew they needed X amount of dollars. The White House came back and said, no, we're giving you less amount of money. And so the VA said, okay, here's what we'll do. And what they did was they fudged their numbers so they would accept a lower amount of money but make it look adequate. It's all in the government report. Yeah. It's right there on paper. We've also found that they've been using...
And that's on your website.
It is. It's on vawatchdog.org. If you go down near the bottom, you will find a page called Of Special Interest near the
now,
bottom
of the
homepage.
Now, I found an interesting thing, Larry, that... because we're talking, Congress is bagging out and waffling on this, and I yes. want you to hit two things real quick, and one is on Congress,
mm-hmm.
and specifically maybe even Oregon.
Yes.
And then secondly, tell me about this wonderful guy up here at the top that wants to privatize it.
There okay. you go.
Well, let's talk about what's going on in Congress. You'll never hear, well, let me ask you this way. Let's put it in the form of a question. How many politicians have you ever heard say, I don't support our veterans?
Oh, no,
not a one. Not a one, of course. But no, let's take a look.
Heads all over the place.
There's a wonderful Project Vote Smart, which is a marvelous website. It's vote-smart.org. Okay, they are nonpartisan. Basically, all they are is number crunchers. Various organizations come to them and say, will you put together a database based on the issues that are important to us? So the Disabled American Veterans is one of their regular losers, the DAV.
Mm-hmm. And there's a link on your website.
And there's a link on the website down at the bottom of the homepage on vawatchdog.org, and you'll find this. So the DAV said, here is our legislative agenda. These are the bills that we feel need to be passed to serve our veterans adequately. And then what VoteSmart does is they tabulate all of your senators and your representatives in the House. They tabulate their votes, and they come up with a ranking from 0 to 100. 0's really bad,
yeah.
and 100's really good. Okay, anything below 50% is bad. Let's take Oregon on the latest Disabled American Veterans Legislative Agenda. Senator Ron Wyden, 92%. Very, very, very good. Senator Gordon Smith, 42%.
Wow.
That's not good. Let's go to your representatives. Here's the one you're going to love. Greg Walden.
Yeah.
Give me a number. Just take a guess, a wild guess. Greg Walden, voting on veterans issues.
Now,
give him a
Greg
percentage.
Walden says he supports the vets, so yeah. I bet he's close to the top.
Zero.
Zero.
Zero. An absolute zero.
And that's a surprise on Greg.
Who is a Republican? If we take the Democratic members of the House from the state of Oregon, David Wu, Earl Blumenauer, Peter DeFazio, and Darlene Hooley, give me a number.
90.
100.
Oh!
That's right.
All four of those Democratic members of the House have voted 100% on issues supporting veterans and a veterans agenda as forwarded by the Disabled American Veterans, the DAV. Now, the wonderful thing about this page is we can
the Republicans, because they're probably pretty close, aren't they?
Greg Walden, zero.
Zero. The chairman of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs, Representative Steve Booyer, 4th District, Indiana. Booyer. Here is the man who is the chair of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs. Zero.
Zero.
Absolute
right.
zero. This... You go straight across the board, Republicans down in the 25% to zero range, Democratic members of the House and Senate in the 80%+ range, all the way up to 100. It is a given.
Same is true in Washington, right next door, because we have a bunch of you are listening over in Washington.
Well, I live over in Vancouver. Washington. I live in Vancouver, and my representative in the House is Brian Baird, 100%.
Yeah, Brian.
Brian Baird is a veteran. Brian Baird also. is a clinical psychologist who actually worked at the VA for a number of years.
Wow.
Brian Baird knows veterans issues. Brian is a very good person. But again, we have this incredible trend, and you say, how can that be? It's because it's the difference between being a loyalist and a patriot. A loyalist is a person who will follow a person, a party, or an ideology no matter what they tell you to do. And that's what's happening with the neoconservative Republicans. The voice from above Whereas President Bush has said, I hear the voices.
Yeah.
The voice from above says, you don't vote that way. So they don't vote that way. There's no thought involved. There's no conscience involved. It is loyalism rather than patriotism. And we see this in the Republican Party right now. Why do you think, and we can only cross our fingers on this, why do you think the people in the United States of America are so angry with the Republican Party? Even their far-right conservative base is angered because of the things they have done. Whether the issue is supporting their churches or whether the issue is economics. If you look at conservative economists, you're saying, this is not conservatism. You people are crazy. And they're ruining the country. We know that. We can see that. So the people are a lot smarter than their elected representatives. Hopefully, come November 7th, we'll see some changes there. But if you go to VAWatchdog.org, you'll be able to go all across the country, find out who really supports veterans, who doesn't. In a word, Republicans don't, Democratic members do.
Yeah.
And that's on the website, and you can find it. Now, it's interesting, you talked about the fellow that's the head, and always from the Midwest.
Jim Nicholson.
And that's fine. We don't care where Jim's from. You're the head of the Veterans Committee, I assume that you're for veterans. Oh. You should be. But
you're talking about Stephen Booyer, then.
Booyer.
Yeah.
But I find a little thing in there talking about, we got some clown up here talking about privatizing the VA.
Certainly.
Who's that?
You want to address that just a little bit here for us, Larry?
Okay,
Larry Scott's our guest on Veterans Voice, KBOO Portland. Stay tuned. This is getting good.
Every veteran, every person who works in the Veterans Administration, who's a Republican political appointee, and that's most of the higher positions right now, and every Republican member of the House and the Senate has voted for measures that have begun and continue to privatize the Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA. Contract workers. Contracts with private health care providers. Over the years, the VA has been known for building state-of-the-art, world-class hospitals, hiring the best people, and they've done a good job of it. Health care at the VA is wonderful if you can get it. If you can get it, and that's the problem. Since George W. Bush has become president, contracts are going out to health care providers. They're going out and leasing buildings instead of building them. They're going out and entering into contracts with healthcare providers for veterans to go in and see literally private doctors and private nurses. This opens up a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. These are not people who've been trained in handling the specific needs of the veteran community.
Yep.
This opens up security and privacy issues because these people then have access to veterans' medical records. In many cases, they're medical records from the military, and in many cases, depending on why the veteran is being seen, to actually take a look at their military records. So there are security and privacy issues there as well. And then the other thing is, it's plain and simple, folks, it costs more.
Yep.
Hello. It is the stupidest darn thing I've ever seen.
Yep.
You can't lease or rent a space cheaper than you can build it if you're going to keep that space for any more than 8 or 10 years, which the VA will do. You cannot pay a private provider money to treat your veterans and get it less expensively.
Right.
It cannot be done. All this is a way of paying back campaign contributors, big pharma, big healthcare providers, big real estate developers. Right. Plain and simple.
Wow.
And you heard it right here on Veterans Voice, from Northwest Veterans for Peace on KBOO Portland. Go to Larry Scott's website,
VAWatchdog.org.
And if you haven't heard enough reason now to call in a pledge, we got more to come. So you stay tuned and go ahead and go to the phone right now. And Emily, you take a break and tell them what we have for them.
Well, I'll tell you what we have for them. I think we only need $100 to reach our goal, which is fabulous. But let's pretend it's $400. And let's call right now, 503-232-8818. We still have copies of Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq, and Iraq, and we really would like you to send some to the White House. Actually, I personally am considering doing that myself. And also, we also have the Cindy Sheehan book, Not One More Mother's Child, and still out there is the Spirit Rejector. This hasn't gone yet, folks. For a mere $60 pledge, you can have a Spirit Rejector donated by Marvin Simmons. I'm tempted to take it myself, and the reason why is I'm thinking maybe if I put it up there when various people come and try to inculcate me into their religion, maybe the little symbol above the door will scare them away. That's what I'm thinking. Actually, it's quite beautiful. And the number to call is 503-231-8032. Wait, that's the front desk. Don't call that number. He took down the number. He took down the phone number thing. There it is. 503-23. How do I not know this number? You guys all know the number. 503-232-8818. Are they still all up on the mics over there? I want you guys to talk about what KABU has meant for you over the years. JT, are you there?
Yes, hello.
What has KABU meant for you as far as getting your voice out and being able to speak about veterans' issues? Has it actually created change here, having KABU available, do you think? Has it made a difference for the veterans?
Absolutely. One of the things, it does make a difference, and it makes a difference in two ways. It allows the veterans to have a voice so that the non-veteran can have more of an understanding of us. And we admit that some of us have some problems and we're a little weird and we act strange in certain situations. And the more people that understand that, that's good. And secondly, just from the veteran itself, and this is kind of I know some of you veterans are listening out there. You want to be a part of this. When you're a part of someone that feels like you do, that knows what you've gone through and feels the same way, it's really encouraging. I tell you, my brothers like Marvin and Larry and Bill and a bunch of the others, it makes a difference. Anytime I get in something that's emotional or something, I just think back on the friends that I have. Yeah. And boy, that is tremendously helpful.
Yeah, that's
it. Does make a difference.
Yeah. Also, one of the things that that you know we get calls is from family members. I'm telling you, we get a lot of phone calls from family members who don't know the things about the VA or where their loved one can go and get help. I mean, this is from I've gotten phone calls from World War II and Korean War veterans family members wanting some help. And so, you know, once you get the word out, it's going to be, you know, very helpful to the veterans. And with these guys coming back, these men and women coming back, boy, they're going to need a lot of help. They're going to need a lot of help. And with 80% of the soldiers over there want to get out of there. And so with 60-some percent of the Americans don't support the war, you know, we got to get that message out. We got to get these guys, men and women, help when they come home.
Hey, you guys, it's me, Lisa Loving. I just got to jump in here. I know my voice is really loud right now, but I listen to the show every month, and if people are not calling right now, we're in a matching period. We're contributions up to $500 are going to be matched by this incredibly cool contributor who's also a fan of this show. But if you haven't called the number...
then you best do so right now, 503-232-8818. Or if you're outside the Portland area, 1-877-500-5266. You were talking about getting the word out. This is a resource that's absolutely
invaluable.
Priceless. It's priceless, and I think that's one thing that the folks need to keep in mind, that when you keep KABU, when you help to keep KABU on the air and you become a member and you receive the program guide and all the wonderful benefits that we give to you, that you're also really ensuring the only voice that veterans coming back from this current debacle in this tragedy that's going on in Iraq, and then also for the vets of previous wars, as he said.
Yeah.
As he said, even
you know what? It's
even
more than that, because these guys had a show just earlier this summer looking at domestic violence patterns with veterans. And actually,
great
we did
show.
A little research in the evening news department on this issue. Domestic violence, people who advocate on behalf of survivors and victims of domestic violence in this country are saying, actually, levels of DV and reported DV are leveling out, but not in veterans' families. That's
right.
The major place that domestic violence is growing in this country.
Yeah.
Our friends here did a whole show about it. They had a representative from the, wasn't it the Miles Foundation?
The Miles Foundation, right.
we're saying, we're looking at how this issue of our friends, our family members, our neighbors are getting sucked into this war zone. Mm-hmm. They're getting spat back out, and we all have to deal with that. It's not just about, are you a veteran or not? It's all of us.
Not only that, and I don't even know, you know, the fact that they're now condoning torture and the use of torture and what that means for our boys out there. 503-232-8818, and our girls, by the way, 503-232-8818, who still come home suffering with the effects of Agent Orange and the effects of depleted uranium and the things. And the only place that you're really going to be hearing these points driven home are places like this, as long as we survive. And we count on you, and thank you for doing this. Thank you for calling 503-232-8818, taking care of the matching monies that we've gotten right now. If you call now and get the book, Mission Rejected, say for a $60 minimum pledge, this gives you a year-long membership in KBOO, voting rights, the program guide sent to you so you know when to stay tuned for those wonderful specials that we have. Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Say No to Iraq. If you're already a member, consider becoming a member for somebody in the administration and sending them a copy of the book. I'm really behind this idea.
You know what's a trip about that, too, is actually right here in our area, Pacific Northwest, Oregon, we have a whole crop of young people, different situations, coming forward and refusing to go to the war in Iraq.
Yep.
We had, and I think a lot of these people have actually been on this show. It's not just old people. It's not just old veterans. It's young people.
And it's not
us.
Just it's not us. Just Americans. It's Israeli soldiers, refuseniks.
That's
people.
Right.
There's a movement.
Right on this show.
The
refuseniks
are great.
That's right. And if what Liam says is true, even partially true, if right now we can send good thoughts, or at least the thoughts that we need to have sent out there, 503-232-8818. These airwaves are absolutely invaluable. They go out over the internet. I know they're listened to by
I listened to it in Vietnam when I was living in Vietnam.
All over the world. And I'd like to encourage people who are listening in France, in Germany, in the U.S. Virgin Islands, wherever you are on the internet.
You can call us toll free.
You can, and we'd love to talk to you. We have people here standing by. 1-877-500-5266. That's 1-877-500-5266, and this includes you, Portland, and Washington, and everyone else who can hear me. We're going back to the program to sign out. Thanks, boys,
thanks
for letting
us
talk.
Oh, wow, we're almost done.
Thank you so much for listening to Veterans Voice, and thank you all you who called in, and there's some of you just about to call in. Go ahead and do that right now.
Please.
Our guest today on Veterans Voice, KBOO Portland, is Larry Scott, and we're just getting started, Larry. We only have a couple of things, couple of minutes we can go. I'm going to let you take it away. There's a lot of things we want to talk about, but
a number of us have mentioned here today, both of those working in the membership drives and here in the studio, about depleted uranium.
Depleted
Your government is not doing. They're ignoring it. They're turning their head. They're saying this is a radioactivity issue. It is not a radioactivity issue. It is a heavy metals issue.
Yes.
Yep. What is happening is troops will come back from these wars and say, I want to be tested for depleted uranium. By the time they're home, Dr. Doug Rocky, the foremost expert on DU, who I've spent a lot of time with, Dr. Doug will tell you, after 3 months, it is impossible to detect any radioactivity in your body from depleted uranium. These troops come home, they're tested, you're fine. And nothing is done. No long-term testing is being done on the heavy metals issue. The government is ignoring it. No long-term tracking is being done to test for heavy metals. And what we know is going to be a generational problem.
Absolutely.
Birth defects. That's what your government is not doing on the depleted uranium issue. It's been a pleasure, guys. It's been a real pleasure to be with you here today.
We've got three minutes.
Call your congresspeople and, you know, go to the website, get on some of these things. Hit just real briefly, the VA should be for people. I've had, I've worked on the last couple of months, just problems with guys out of the VA, and they get to a situation where they're homeless, and then they try to get their records.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the system should be pretty good, and you should get those pretty quickly.
Getting your records?
Did I set you up okay?
Well, it depends what you're talking about, your military health care records.
Right.
Getting your military records in, that can be almost impossible in some cases, and that has to do, again, with the funding issue, simply because Congress has not funded the programs called Seamless Transition. They set up the program, but they don't fund it. It's another one of those unfunded mandates. Seamless Transition is supposed to put in electronic record sharing so a veteran will be able to walk into any VA hospital, and then they will be able to go, yes, pull pull down their medical records, if necessary, their service records from the Department of Defense, from DOD, and there is a seamless transition. The care that they received in the military will be seamlessly transferred over to the VA. It's not happening. It's a wonderful idea. Again, a funding issue.
Right. Depleted uranium, is like Larry said, is going to be really a problem with these folks coming back. And one thing that the VA came out and said wasn't too long ago, Larry, was that there was no such thing as Gulf War syndrome.
Yes, they
had. Remember that?
The study says there are sick people, but there's no Gulf War syndrome.
Right.
It's good news and bad news. There is no one ailment. However, the VA has recognized that these people need care. They're trying to care for them. There is ongoing research, but not enough. We know there's a problem, and they are almost completely ignoring the issue of vaccines.
Yeah, and they just came out saying they're going to force these guys to take vaccines too.
Monday. Anthrax vaccine,
right.
Mandatory once again. It happened, I believe it was yesterday or Monday.
Yep.
Department of Defense says you must take the anthrax vaccine.
Yep.
It's happening all over again, folks.
Yep.
Boy, we're just getting started. Veterans Voice, KBO, Portland, and we got about 30 seconds and we're out of here, but we keep getting calls. I got a call of guy back from Iraq 6 months and his dad's in tears. He's down in San Diego, severe depression, and that's one of thousands. We need to continue with Veterans Voice on KBO Portland. Keep calling in so we can stay on the air and keep after your congressman. And we thank every one of you for listening. It's just been a pleasure to have you, Larry, on the show, and a pleasure to have you listening with us today. Veterans Voice, KBOO, Portland.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for Andrew.
For Andrew.
To the battles of the German trench in a war that was bound to end all wars. Oh, I must have killed a million men, and now they want me back again, but I ain't marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we've won with the saber and the gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I flew the final mission in the Japanese.
Attention nonprofit job seekers, Portland's largest networking forum, Idealist.org's Nonprofit Career Fair, will be held at Portland State University on October 19th. This is an opportunity to connect directly with representatives from as many as 60 to 70 organizations in one space about current and future employment, internship, and volunteer opportunities. Additionally, free information sessions offering nonprofit career advice will be available to all job seekers. The fair will be held in the ballroom on the third floor of the Smith Memorial Student Union at Portland State University on October 19th from 11 to 3 p.m. For more information, go to idealist.org/fairs. KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of this event.
Welcome to the program. You are listening to People Rise Up on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland and online around the world at KBOO.FM. My name is Andrew Geller, and welcome to week 3 of our fall 2006 membership drive. We've got a sizable goal here for you this morning to meet, and to help us along in doing that, I have brought my friend Heather Coburn Flores along for the ride today. She is a permaculture activist and author of a brand new book from Chelsea Green that is called Food Not Lawns, How to Turn Your Yard into a Garden and Your Neighborhood into a Community. Welcome to the program this morning, Heather.
Hi.
Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you.
So,
hey, Andrew, I can barely hear you.
Okay, well, you're coming through just fine here at this end, so if you can hear me enough, let's do that, and we'll fix it at a break.
Okay.
Okay. So you are a certified permaculture designer and have a BA in Ecology, Education, and the Arts from Goddard College. You've offered environmental landscape design and consultation services, and you are, I guess, the founder or co-founder of Cascadia Food Not Lawns down in Eugene. So, the book starts out with a pretty provocative premise, food, not lawns. Can you tell us sort of the guiding idea above and beyond the self-explanatory part of it to the food, not lawns concept?
Sure. And, I mean, really to start off, I want to make it clear that I'm not totally opposed to green, grassy places. You know, I definitely see their place in a natural landscape and, you know, use them myself for sunbathing and frolicking. And but it's more of the food, not lawns, is more sort of the notion that the vast expanse of surplus land that represents the rolling American lawn, I feel like is a waste and is sort of like a gross display of affluence, and especially in times like this where people need to really, you know, a lot of people are looking at community sustainability issues and wanting to develop systems that seem to be more ecological. It seems like the lawns are the first place to go.
You have some interesting statistics about lawns and turf, I guess, as it's referred to in the industry. There's about 23 million acres of lawn, and I'm guessing this is pretty much just like kind of the residential postage stamp-sized front yard cumulatively across the country. Combined, it costs about $500 a year for the average lawn to be maintained. And the lawns of the United States consume enough water to keep wet 81 million acres of organic vegetables. That's a pretty sizable chunk of the agricultural lands in this country. So lawns really are a tremendous user of various resources.
Yeah, I think they're the largest agricultural sector. And you know, the consumer industry.
Right, I suppose especially when you throw in the, you say 700,000 athletic grounds and over 14,000 golf courses,
right.
All of which are maintained well beyond what the average homeowner was going to do with their lawn.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so...
people, I read recently that people spend, the average, like, spent per person on lawns is the same as they spend on Christmas.
Wow.
There's like two ways that Americans just love to waste their money.
Wow, that's a very interesting comparison. I had never heard about that.
Well, the season's coming right up, you know.
And I just want to kind of add on to your caveat about lawns. You know, I love soft green places to lie down in as well, but there's certainly no need for these large expanses. You can have that and... you know, have the land be providing you with food and fiber and medicine, etc.
Right.
So early on in the book, you broach a concept that you call paradise gardening, mm-hmm. and see this as something that everyone can do. What is paradise gardening, and how would you know if you were doing it?
Good question. Well, paradise gardening, the term, I think, was coined by Joe Hollis, who runs Mountain Gardens in North Carolina. And I think it's near CeeLo, North Carolina. It's this little community outside of Asheville. And he's really extraordinary. And he grows medicinal herbs from all over the world and grows this big, crazy garden that is very much, looks very much like the natural landscape. He lives sort of up in the woods on this hill. And really, unless unless your eye is trained a little bit as far as being able to differentiate between the native plants and the non-native plants or whatever, his garden feels very much like you're just in the natural forest there. And I honestly didn't even realize that I was in a garden full of Chinese medicinal herbs until he mentioned it. And so that's how well it sort of blended with the landscape around, whereas most gardens, it's like, you know, you can tell when there's a garden in the middle of a native landscape. You know, it's sort of carved out or even built into boxes or something. So that's, I think, sort of one symptom that you might be practicing paradise gardening, is if your garden appears to be in good ecological harmony with its surroundings, just visually, you know. And then I also think there's a lot to do with it, just the attitude toward the garden and the notion, and it is a little bit biblical, and I sort of try to stay away from religion at all, but I do have sort of like romantic notions about the biblical vision of Eden and the notion of the first people on the earth being sort of willing to serve that garden, as opposed to having this attitude like we do now in agriculture of what can the garden do for me, you know?
I think that's a really profound difference, the way you phrase that, how we can serve the garden, because I'm a gardener. I've gardened for about 10 years, and I understand what you mean exactly when you say how we can serve the garden, because, you know, yeah, we're raising the, you know, the garden by itself, you know, sort of by definition is an artificial setting, and the ideas of permaculture and paradise gardening and ecological design try and sort of mimic to the maximum extent natural systems, but because it's created by people, it will always be somewhat artificial in, design, and you have to keep it going. It's like an artificially created system generally does need some inputs, and the idea with permaculture, etc., is to try and reduce the need for those external inputs. But the idea of serving the garden, you're very much right, is something we don't, by and large, think about. So,
yeah, and I don't think that just necessarily because we're involved with the garden. I mean, I agree with most of what you said, except for the one part about it being artificial, because I think that, you know, we are natural creatures, and I think a lot of times we just try to ignore that, and this culture gives us all of these options for ignoring that, you know, and everything is sort of prepackaged and set up for us to go along this seemingly artificial or just technological existence, you know, everything's in boxes and sort of very unnatural shapes that you don't necessarily find in wild nature. But but I do think that it, when we do start to interact with the garden, especially with more of an attitude of humility, or at least some sense of equality, like not necessarily considering your own needs to be more important than anyone else's in the garden's needs, you know, being the other beings in the garden, and even just attempting that, I think, sort of opens us up to the fact that we are these natural beings, and gives us sort of more of like a satisfaction about being on the earth, or, I don't know, gardening feels like it's worth doing, mm-hmm. sort of what I'm trying to say, in like a very natural and normal way, you know, once you get, and I'm sure you can relate since you're a gardener.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you get out there, you're like, oh, this feels like such a good place to be. You know?
You also just referenced something that you mentioned in the book, but not as directly just now, is that there's really not rectangles or straight lines in nature.
No.
Straight lines a little bit once in a while, but there's really not rectangles.
Uh-oh.
Everything's curved.
Mm-hmm.
So we touched on paradise gardening a little bit. How is paradise gardening different from permaculture, say, or ecological design? Are these terms mostly interchangeable? Are there distinct differences that are important?
I wouldn't say any of those terms are interchangeable.
Okay.
Permaculture.
I actually have the quote from Bill Mollison in here. Would you like me to reference that?
Yes, go ahead.
Because it's really well put. Bill Mollison wrote kind of the world's first guide to permaculture, and he defines permaculture, which is it's not an acronym, but it's referring to permanent agriculture, and hence the word permaculture. He describes it as, quote, conscious design and maintenance of agriculturally productive ecosystems which have the diversity, stability, and resilience of natural ecosystems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really good. And I think that's probably one of the best definitions I've heard, you know, and Mollison sort of takes credit for coining the term permaculture, and I'm pretty sure he deserves that credit, as do, I think, a handful of other people that he was collaborating with at the time. Although, you know, there's a lot of things about permaculture. I've heard it described as a design system for sustainable living, and I think that's sort of like, it's sort of rephrasing what you just read, but it's a little bit more succinct. But then we bring in that word sustainable, which is this sort of immeasurable goal mm-hmm. that the ecological movement has set for itself. And so that's sort of a whole other topic. But permaculture, to me, I don't know, it's sort of a contentious term for me, honestly, because the notion of being permanent
uh-huh.
and that again, like, you know, puts into this, it sends red flags up in my eco-ethics, you know, sort of the notion that the human species is somehow entitled to be permanent here on this planet, and I'm not sure that we are. And then also permaculture, but, you know, sort of on the positive side, permaculture, if you love permaculture, because it does embrace this notion of ecological design, and it does address these issues of our unsustainability on the planet, then you would have to recognize that permaculture includes more than just the garden, sort of to answer the question as far as the difference between permaculture and paradise gardening. Paradise gardening, to me, would be a piece of your permaculture. And then it also needs to include, like, your behavior towards others and your the way you get around and how you get your lights on and how mm-hmm. you cook your food and all of these things, how you make your money. You know, that, to me, there's all these little elements, too, of permaculture in the sort of, you know, traditional sense of the word. But in my work, I'm really moving away from permaculture as the permacult, as it were. You know, I really want the notions behind permaculture to be more accessible to a more diverse audience. And I think that it can be a little bit sort of cliquish.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really working toward changing that.
You're listening to Heather Coburn Flores, author of Food Not Lawns, How to Turn Your Yard into a Garden and Your Neighborhood into a Community. When we bring her back in a moment, we'll be talking more about some of the concepts here in her book and how the ideas of permaculture extend well beyond actual physical, biological, agricultural-oriented systems. And right now, I'm going to have Emily
Hi.
Come on into the mix. Morning, Emily.
Hi, Andrew. We're, of course, trying to get people to call right now at 503-232-8818. We do have Heather Coburn Flores's book for a $60 minimum membership, the Food Not Lawns, How to Turn Your Yard into a Garden and Your Neighborhood into a Community. And if you're interested in that, and if you're interested in supporting, as I am, Andrew's program, where you might hear words like Franken-trees and biodiversity, and you might know why those things are important and valid and need to be talked about at great length. As a matter of fact, the more we know about Franken-trees, the better off we all will be as far as being an informed populace. Listening to this program is one of the best things that you can do. Listening to KABU is one of the best things that you can do. So please give us a call and make sure that this station stays vibrant and strong for the future, at least as semi-permanent as we are. We hopefully will be able to stick around long enough. The way we can do that is by calling 503-232-8818. It's about survival, isn't it?
I think it is, Emily. Emily, this is Ani, and I am here this morning again to ask folks to please make this the time that you join your community radio station. You know that this is the only media outlet in this area that does actually devote a lot of time talking about permaculture, talking about sustainability issues, talking about global warming, talking about the genetically modified organisms and nanotechnology. You've heard about all of these topics on Andrew Geller's show over the last year. He is an amazing resource for the community as he reaches out to contact people who are really quite outstanding in their fields. And to get that information collected, gathered, and served up to you so that you can, again, be informed and enriched in your community and in your life, then we can all take action together to help create that social change. That's part of KABU's mission, creating social change. 503-232-8818. The change we want to create right now is moving you to become an active participatory member of Community Radio. 503-232-8818. Or if you live outside the local Portland dialing area, call us toll free 1-877-500-5266. I want to thank Cooper's Coffee for donating breakfast this morning, 6041 Southeast Stark Street. I want to thank Old Wives Tales. They will be serving lunch this afternoon, 1300 East Burnside. And I want to thank Pambiche at 2811 Northeast Gleason Street, because, in fact, all of these businesses have donated food to keep our volunteers going strong throughout the day as they wait to hear from you. When you dial 503 232-8818.
We want to thank some people, Ani. We want to thank Laura, who renewed in Portland, Martha, who renewed, Nancy, who renewed, Dorothy, Jane, Tom renewed, Shannon renewed, and Jane is new, and Alan renewed. Those people renewed, and help support KBOO. You call in right now and support KBOO. You could get the book, like I said, for a $60 minimum membership, minimum pledge.
But check it out. Shannon actually called from Vader, Washington.
Did she? Great. She called that 1-877-500-5266 line where we pay for you to call and contribute to KBOO, become a member. Not only does he have the Food
Not Lawns,
I bet
that's what Jane in Vancouver did, too.
I bet they did. Bet. They called 503-232-8818. I think Vancouver. Is Vancouver long distance?
Yeah.
It is. You know what? I went and I grabbed out of the pile there from last week when Andrew had Nafiz Mossadegh Ahmed on talking about the London bombings last week. Maybe you were tuning in and you were tuning in again to get that. That's for a $60 minimum pledge. Also, this is the author of the widely acclaimed trilogy Exploring the Rhetoric and Reality of the War on Terror. Nafiz Ahmed reveals the first time in his new book the full extent of the links between British intelligence and terrorists based in Britain. He further shows how Britain and the U.S. continue to cooperate with Islamist groups across Central Asia. Are you interested in that? I am. 503-232-8818. $60 minimum pledge will get you this book sent to you, or perhaps the person in the White House of your choice. Author of a widely acclaimed trilogy, this gentleman explains about Africa and the Middle East and the London bombings and 9/11 attacks were widely known about in advance among intelligence circles.
503-232.
You want that documented? You want to be able to hand that book to somebody? I do.
503-232-8818. That's the number. Please do give it a call right now. There are so many things, so many reasons why you need to join KBOO. If you're listening, that's the very best reason of all. And you know that the value KBOO brings you every day is the value of sustainability, the value of community, the value of bringing people together to discuss interesting concepts, difficult issues, to inform, to inspire, to outrage, to enrich. That is what we are here for. 503-232-8818. If you have been enjoying the discussion this morning with Heather Coburn Flores, you can pick up for a $60 minimum pledge the Food Not Lawns, How to Turn Your Yard into a Garden and Your Neighborhood into a Community. Again, that's a $60 pledge right here when you dial 503-232-8818. Dial now. Support People Rise Up. Support your very own community radio station, KBOO.
All right. Thank you very much, Ani and Emily. My name is Andrew Geller. You're listening to People Rise Up on KBOO during our fall membership drive. My guest this morning is Heather Coburn Flores, author of Food Not Lawns. And we've been talking about lawns, paradise gardening, permaculture, concepts, some, and we're going to get into that a little bit more here. Thanks for coming back and joining us again, Heather.
Hi.
Hey.
I can still barely hear you.
Okay, well, you're sounding really great here, so just keep that in mind. Did you hear that?
What was it?
I said, you sound really great, so keep that in mind all through.
Okay.
We can hear you just great. So another key permaculture concept, maybe it's not as Bill Mollison described it, but you reference the idea of looking deep, and you introduce that idea in the context of a garden, but it could be applied elsewhere. What exactly do you mean by look deep?
Well, that's a term that that a friend of mine taught me once. We were out in the forest together. It was actually during the Fall Creek action campaign, and we were out by Fall Creek and or in the tree village there and walking around in the forest. And he had grown up in a family full of hunters, and he was sort of teaching me how to look into the forest. We had no intention of hunting anything that day, but he was teaching me to look into the forest and just sort of see the forest for the trees, you know, to sort of look. So you look and you see a tree, and then, like, you let your eye kind of move, and you look, and you see something, like a bush behind the tree, and then you let your eye drop down, and you see a little bird sitting there, and then you can just keep looking. And even if your vision isn't super good, it's more about, it's not necessarily about being able to see really well, it's about being able, allowing your eyes to sort of slowly let the rest of your senses take in what you're seeing, and slowing down your observation of nature. And
kind of like not so much trying to focus on anything, but sort of focus on nothing?
No, not so much that. I mean, you can do that and just sort of take it all in, just kind of experience it, and I think that's really nice. But looking deep is very much about focusing, I think. And and so, like, you look and you focus on one thing, like you focus on the tree. Like right now I'm looking out into my garden, and I see a peach tree. And then when I let go of that peach tree, with my eyes, I drop down, I see some raspberry bushes. And then I can sort of drop down there, and I see a sage. But I can look beyond the sage, and there's like a little patch of grass, and beyond that, there's a new garden bed that we just dug up. And then right beyond that, and just landed on it, actually, is a little bird. And I can't quite tell what kind of bird it is. But, you know, and so now what I'm talking about is probably 50 or 60 feet away from me. And what I started looking at was maybe 25 feet away from me. And so it's all like, oh, there's a chicken just ran across. It's so great. And so it's all about, to me, the concept of looking deep, it's a design tool, you know, but it's also about just like experiencing your garden or your life in this way, you know, and it applies especially when you're doing the observation that's necessary to make changes in your garden, you know.
So another idea that I wanted to talk about, and you referenced in the last segment sort of in passing, is the idea of edges. And edges in nature, just the points at which two different biological regions intersect, and how the edge effect can work at a small scale in one's garden. And then let's talk a little bit about actually how to convert a lawn. But edge effect, what is it and why is it important and why do we want to have it in our garden?
Yeah, well, and you know, an edge is likely to have more than twice as much diversity as either sort of you know, adjacent area, you know, because I don't really understand why exactly it is that way, honestly, but it's at the intersection. I mean, obviously there would be the intersection, and then the people, or not necessarily the people, but all the creatures that sort of live in each side kind of meet there and exchange information. Mm-hmm. And whether it's biological information, and you know, we're talking about like a little tiny, like couple clusters of bacteria, or whether it's, you know, or in a garden or something, or whether it's information like with people, like you go down to the plaza and it's like the edge between two different neighborhoods and you interact with your neighbors in this way. But those are going to be the areas where your diversity reaches a peak. And then in addition, there'll be extra activity that exists only in the edge, that is, you know, species or goings-on that only happen in that edge area. And so that's also of added interest. And especially when you're working in a small space, it makes sense to maximize at the edge as much as you can so that you can get the most out of your space. You know, you can take like a big square piece of a big square garden, and you can intersect it with some paths that will sort of shake it up and put some water features in here and there, or, you know, little teeny tiny baby ponds will change the microclimate and create edge and really diversify your landscape.
Well, let's use the idea of adding water to a site and baby ponds. I like that idea.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about, I have a community garden plot, and community gardens are just absolutely fantastic things, because if you don't own your own home, chances are you move every once in a while, and you don't really, you know, it's nice to be able to garden the same spot year after year, because then you can actually, you know, do things that are just more than annuals or with 18 months in mind. And I've been trying to figure out, okay, well, how could I incorporate, you know, I've got rectilinear plots.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to figure out, well, where could I incorporate some curves or put a baby pond? So, you know, how would someone do this? You have a section that's called, what if I don't have a lawn?
Right.
So what if I don't have a lawn? Because I don't.
Uh-huh. Well, as far as intersecting your rectilinear community garden plot, you know, there's a few different ways to do it. You know, like with the, I mean, I think in one of the chapters in my book, it talks about bed design and using this 120-degree trisect, kind of keeping that in mind as you're designing paths. And
yeah, I really liked,
you know,
there's
a couple of ways you could put like sort of a curving path through, rather than putting a path straight down the middle or just along the sides of your garden plot. You know, you could put sort of a diagonal curving path that goes through and then do little keyhole inlets or outlets from that path into the beds.
Mm-hmm.
And that would, you know, really change the dynamic of your space versus having just it all sort of broken up into a little grid, which is, you know, sort of more, if the grid, I don't know. I think that maybe we've even been brainwashed to believe it's more efficient because, you know, as far as use of path space, it's been shown to be actually less efficient, that you actually use up less land on your paths when you do the keyhole beds.
Hmm.
But and then what if you don't have a lawn? Mm-hmm. Or what if you're on the waiting list for the community garden
mm-hmm.
space, which in Portland, there's like 400 people on the waiting list, right?
Well, it depends on what garden you're looking for.
Uh-huh.
There are gardens that have long waiting lists, and if you're willing to go to a completely different part of town, you could uh-huh. probably get a sunny plot walking right up.
Right.
Yeah.
But how much sense does it make to go all the way across town to get your lettuce, you know?
Right.
I mean, I think that there are other alternatives, and one of my favorite alternatives is to use your neighbor's lawn, because a lot of times people who don't have lawns live near people who do. And a lot of times the people who do have lawns, they have like, you know, maybe they have a lot of surplus land, and a lot of times what that means is that they're working for their money more of the time, you know? And a lot of people who tend to live affluent lifestyles do work a lot for all that money, and they work hard, and they don't have time to grow a garden, and
mm-hmm.
so why not offer up that space to somebody who does have time and then share the harvest?
Right, and it's not like you're offering landscaping services for payment. You just want to be able to grow in their soil.
Right.
And you know, I assume that pretty much anyone who says, yeah, you can use some of my lawn to do this, you know, they would likely probably get a share of whatever's produced, because
yeah.
most gardens produce more than...
Like, yeah, okay, I guess you could plant peaches and raspberries.
Yeah, right. Nah, I don't want those fruiting vines in my yard. Okay, so, now...
There's an organization in Portland called the City Farmer. Have you heard of them?
Mm-mm.
I haven't heard of them until really recently, and I was just like, what a great idea. It's actually a landscaping service of sorts, but it's a couple of women, and they have this project. You can look it up online, probably Google it, the City Farmer, Portland, Oregon, and that's where I found it, some random search. And it's these women, and what they do is you pay them not very much. I think it's comparable to like a CSA membership. You pay them, and they come and they grow vegetables for you in your yard, and you get all the food. And,
wow.
you know, I don't even think they even take any of it. Or maybe they take, like, whatever is a surplus for you. Oh, and they do, and they donate it to soup kitchens. So probably some people just give it all to the soup kitchen. But I would imagine people just, like, take what they need out of their garden. They can harvest anytime they want. And somebody else comes and maintains the whole thing.
So I actually just did a search on Google for the City Farmer, and... there's cityfarmer.org, which is a Canadian site. There's
uh-huh.
actually a whole bunch of them, and I'll obviously need to throw a Portland in here because
yeah.
I'm getting stuff from all over the country with that
oh,
term. But it's it sounds like a great idea.
There's a whole movement of city farming.
Yeah, and I've actually, now that I look at this, I've checked out the Canadian, I guess it's like the Canadian Agriculture Department's site, something like Sustainable Agriculture effort.
Oh, you
and
know what? This one was called the Backyard Farmer.
Okay.
The city farmer, shoot.
Well, no.
There's all sorts of
good
stuff.
Yeah, there's all sorts of good stuff. It's not a bad thing to have thrown that on out there.
Yeah.
I know that you were interested in talking about the concept of sustainability, and that's a sort of longer conversation that not even a solid hour would do justice to, but I'm certainly not going to try and introduce it at the moment, because I want to talk to Emily and Ani just real quickly again, and when we come back, we're going to talk about sustainability, because I know that you're really interested in doing that, and I would like to as well, because it's a weird thing. So, my guest is Heather Coburn-Flores. She's the author of Food Not Lawns, How to Turn Your Yard into a Garden and Your Neighborhood into a Community. And you can find out all sorts of stuff about Food Not Lawns as a concept and about the Cascadia chapter online at www.foodnotlawns.com. And we'll be back with her in just a moment. And I've got Emily and Ani here with news about how far over goal we've gone already.
We really need to hear from you.
Oh, that's what we haven't done.
We need to hear from the edge. We need to hear from the verdant edge where it all mixes up. Like
yeah.
she was talking about, Heather was talking about the edge where the organisms cross over. I like that archetype. I think we need it here at KABU. We need you that are just on the verge of calling to make your way over to the phone and call 503-232-8818. You can pick up Heather's book and you can find out. It's, from what I understand, I can see over there, over through the glass window, I can see the book, and it's quite wide, Food Not Lawns. It looks like it's a no-nonsense, kind of a very accessible guide to turning your lawn into something spectacular and something a little bit better for the planet. How about it, folks? 232-8818 for a $60 membership. 503-232-8818. You can get that and the program guide and your membership, which gets you discounts at area businesses. And what else, Lonnie?
Voting rights at the radio station.
That's true.
There's that. You'd be an active, participating member. Talk about creating community. I mean, that's really what KABU is all about. Whether you are listening to our news, our public affairs, or our music programs, we are all about community and sustainability, because in fact we know that community needs, and that people need community to be sustained. And you can be a part of this right now. You can join in and actively participate in grassroots media. 503-232-8818. 503-232-8818. $60 minimum pledge for that book.
I actually want to mention that the book is not exactly quite yet available. The release is going to be made available.
It will be made available to you, the listener.
It says October 2006. So it is out.
And I'll tell you about the book. One thing that I noticed right away is that it stays open. Also, I understand the pages have a good feel. In other words, it's a nice big book that stays open so that you can read it with while your hands are doing, which is always a plus for
Listen
me.
Listen to that shuffling around.
That's right. There it is. And the book is Food Not Lawns. It's by our guest today, by Andrew's guest, Heather Coburn Flores. It's a practical wisdom on ecological design. And again, she was talking about the edges, and we're looking for you folks that are just thinking about making the decision to become a member of KABU. We really need you right now. 503-232-8818. The more members we have, do we still get those matching funds from the CPB, or is that, have they removed those?
Well, no, that was sort of then. This is sort of now.
It's sort of different, but it doesn't matter.
You know, there are matching grants. Well, yeah, we want to increase local support for sure.
And doesn't it, do you think they listen when people are becoming members of KABU? I think they do.
Well, yeah.
503-232-8818, Food Not Lawns, how to turn your yard into a garden and your neighborhood into a community. Community is real important here at KABU. Because of KABU, we've trained so many people that have gone out into the world that you're hearing them come back to you on all sorts of radio dials.
It's KABU diaspora.
It is. It's a wonderful thing. KABU is a verdant garden itself. A little edgy, maybe. 503-232-8818.
I have this story. A friend of ours once moved into this house, and hadn't yet met his new neighbors, was there, and started talking to his new neighbors about his ideas for the yard and how he had planned on planting vegetables in his front yard, taking out his lawn. And the neighbors were aghast.
Because he was going to put in vegetables?
He said, corn? Oh, no. Not
we can't have
corn.
That. Some nice juniper bushes.
And I think that it's important that KABU gets discussions like this going within the neighborhoods and within communities.
I like the idea of planting a garden in somebody else's yard. And, you know, I've noticed in the church, there's some church, just a little bit of strip. We're talking about a foot of soil outside this fence on a parking lot on Broadway in downtown Portland. For years, there's been raspberries there. They're the Himalayan variety. And you can go by and you can just be eating right off the street there. I love the idea of just planting up every single square inch. We may really need to do this, folks. This actually could be valuable information that you receive in this book, Food Not Lawns, How to Turn Your Yard, Heck, Your Neighbor's Yard, into a Garden and Your Neighborhood into a Community. Call, please, right now, 503-232-8818. If you call now, like I said, we do have these books still available for a $60 minimum pledge, Food Not Lawns, How to Turn Your Yard into a Garden and Your Neighborhood into a Community. idea. I think it's true. I think if you've got little weeders and little people helping to pick the slugs, the geeky slugs off the bushes, that it's better. One of the great things I like about
the slugs are just doing their thing.
They certainly are. You know, if you give the icky slugs something else to eat, like your little leftover compost, they'll go to the
beer. They like beer.
They like. I'm not talking
and
about
beer likes them.
I'm talking about humanely, you know, transplanting your slugs someplace that maybe
Five
perhaps
of three.
An avian friend can have a snack out of them.
232.
The snail-apalt.
8818.
That's my technique, actually.
I bet there's something in Heather's book about that. Food Not Lawns, How to Turn Your Yard Into a Garden and Your Neighborhood Into a Community, $60 minimum pledge. Please call right now, 503-232-8818. Call during Andrew's program and let Andrew know that you appreciate People Rise Up.
We need to raise $800 by 11 a.m.
How we doing?
Well, I'm not sure.
Wait, let's tell them at the next break, and I heard a bunch of calls.
503-232-8818.
Big finish.
Okay. And I want to give that long distance number one more time. If you are outside the Portland local dialing area, you can call us toll free in Washington or in Salem. Call 1-877-500-5266.
Think of it as seed money for biodiversity and democracy when you call it.
That sounds really good. Thanks, Ani. Thanks, Emily. And we're now back with Heather Coburn Flores, author of Food Not Lawns, for our final segment this morning. Hey, Heather. Uh-oh.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, so did you catch the icky snail part?
What was it?
One of the folks talking over here was talking about icky slugs. What do you think? Slugs icky?
Oh, Andrew, I wish I could hear you.
Oh, can you not hear me
now?
I
heard something about slugs.
Yeah, do you think slugs are icky?
What about the slugs?
What
do we do with the slugs?
Are they icky? We had someone talking about
Are they icky?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't like to touch slugs, really, no.
Okay, well, there's
they're icky.
All right, she's
They are. The slugs are part of, they're this underworld creature, you know? I'm not sure what to do with them.
Okay. My technique is to heave them far and wide.
Is to what? Feed them?
Heave them. Throw them.
You throw them?
Yep. Get them out of there.
Ew, but then you have to touch them. You know what?
I usually have a pair of gloves on. Slug gloves.
There's all these methods, you know, like the beer traps. Like
right.
If you want to kill this, which probably throwing the slug might kill the slug. You know this, right?
I do know this.
You're not totally off the hook.
That's understandable. People kill stuff all the time.
There's always ways to kill slugs, though. Like you can lay, you know, if you're feeling murderous, I think maybe the slug might be a good direction to put it. But, you know, you don't want to, like, focus it in, you know, in any one direction. But we lay pieces of plywood, like just kind of recycled wood that you find around along the edges of the garden, like in the garden paths, for a little while in the morning.
It's almost like a slug magnet.
They do. They all crawl under there when the sun comes out. And then you flip it over. Tobias loves to do this, and he takes out his pocket knife and just cuts them all in half.
Yeah, see, I know people who do that, too. I'm not at the slug...
The slug massacre.
Yeah, I'm not at that level, but I will heave them.
Yeah, he's just a
one-at-a-time
slug heaver.
So it wasn't slugs we were really thinking of talking about here in the last segment, so let's use that opportunity to break away to the idea of sustainability.
Yeah.
And just what the heck does that mean?
What is like, that? It's this new buzzword, the sustainability movement, the sustainability industry.
It's a bizarre thing because, quite honestly, really horrible things can be sustainable. Like, you can do bad things indefinitely and
perpetual motion.
Well, I'm not sure if that ties in exactly where I was thinking, but, you know, tell me, what do you think the word sustainability means? And I'll give a suggestion after that as well.
What do I think it means?
Yeah, what is sustainability?
Well,
how would you know when you're there?
I think that a lot of people who use it a lot really want it to mean that we are somehow going to find a way to cease our negative impact on the world's natural ecosystems, and that will somehow mean that if we cease somehow, that we will then not perish in like the eternal flames of nuclear disaster or something. You know, I think there's this sort of like cataclysmic if that we're all dealing with in this day and age, and that the sustainability movement is a sort of a grasp at hope. And I think that people want, deserve, and need that hope. But I really want to see it begin to focus on something that is measurable. And so that's, okay. You know, what do I think sustainability means? I don't know. That's the problem. What does it mean?
Yeah, I bet there's a definition that the United Nations has, because they've got this whole sustainable development agenda. But like in that context, how I perceive it is they're basically interested in transplanting Western concepts of finance, political systems, etc., to countries that don't already have those systems. I guess because they think they've worked so well for the West.
Uh-huh. Democracy works so well in this country.
Yeah, I, you know, so there's that aspect of sustainability, and then there's, you know, bringing it, say, back down to my garden. I have a different concept of what sustainability means,
right.
As practiced by me in my garden versus, you know, negotiators at United Nations treaty right. events, etc. At a personal level, I see, sustainability sort of focusing around reducing, you know, like harm reduction.
Right.
You know, we're all going to cause some level of harm by existing. It's the way it goes. So you can't get hung up on that. But what you can focus on is trying to minimize the negative impact,
right.
You know, not only at your personal point of, you know, interaction at your fingertips, but how you deal with things that have what are called upstream impacts.
Right.
How is stuff produced that you end up purchasing in the store? Because you don't see
well,
that.
Like the notion of the ecological footprint.
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But listeners may not be. Tell them what ecological footprint means.
Wait, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that last one.
Listeners may not have heard ecological footprint. Can you tell them what that means?
Yeah. Well, that's like this. Some institute got together, and it's up on the internet again. And there's a link in my book to this place where you can go and you type in all your information about, like, how often you drive and where you live and what kind of food you eat and all these things, and it sort of calculates, it estimates your quote-unquote ecological footprint. And what that footprint represents is how many planet Earths it would take to sustain your lifestyle if everybody lived like you. And so it's really interesting. And for me, because I like live in a shack and I have a composting toilet and I eat organic food and I share a car and all these things, and I still, it would take 4.5 planets to sustain the world population if it stayed stable and if everybody lived like me. And so that's why I think like this, and that's, it's overwhelming when you think about it. You're like, oh my God, I'm so not sustainable. I'm trying so hard and working so hard at this, you know, and it's really important to me. And but then it's still just not, I'm just not sustainable, you know, and the human culture just isn't sustainable. And I think that it is important not to get too overwhelmed by that fact, but it, and to just continue with our work. But I also think it is also equally important to recognize that that is a fact, and that we need to develop another reason for doing what we're doing. And for me, like, the reason to live ecologically and to eat organic food is because of the way I feel when I eat it now, here and now, in this life, and the way I'm able to treat the people around me, and the reason I want to treat the earth well is because it feels right, you know? And it feels like it's more fulfilling for me than Christmas shopping, for example.
Okay, but how would you say present that idea to someone who would rather go Christmas shopping?
Right. Well, that's, it's
there's
totally
a lot
their
of
choice. And that's what I would say is like, well, you know, I'm totally, like, my calling, you know, and what I've tried to do with this book and what I've done with my work as an activist is sort of access. You know, I'm sort of an access activist, and I'm really into the idea of, you know, whether it's, like, seeds or information about, you know, about forest campaigns or, you know, gardening, surplus plants or garden design ideas or all these things. I have tons and tons of ideas, and I'm totally into sharing them. And I'm into, like, helping people gain access to the resources that they lack in order to realize the goals that feel right for them. Most of the people I run into really want to live an ecological life. Like, it's starting to roll over where, like, most of the people I run into agree that organic food is good for you. And they're not like a free, I mean, there is the whole E. coli scare or whatever, but I think a lot of people I run into, and sort of my target audience are people who are not like afraid of organic food because it's dirty or whatever. I think that, you know, sort of the educated world is starting to recognize that that's just not true.
Okay, so here's...
And so people are, you know, waking up to like the health benefits and most people want to be outside, you know, like they live in this sort of box culture and they're in the office working all the time. They're looking outside at the beautiful sunny Oregon summer and they're just like, what am I doing in here? But they keep working because they love their job, or maybe they keep working because they love their family and they need to take the money home, or, you know, there's all these challenges that we face that sort of stand between us and what we really would like to be doing with our lives. And I see organic living as a gateway to doing what you really want to do. You know, for some reason, for me, a lot of options have unfolded as I've chosen this ecological lifestyle. And I see that recur in all of my friends' lives as well.
So while you've been talking to me here, I went and did an ecological footprint search. And if anyone wants to, they can go to Google and do ecological footprint, and you'll get a whole bunch of different ones. I see earthday.net has a footprint quiz.
Yeah, I think that's one.
Yeah, and then there's the Global Footprint Network. I just took the footprint quiz, and I would be in line with the global average if I bought nothing except food and lived outside.
You what?
If I need four planets myself.
You still need four planets.
Yeah,
too?
I need four planets because I live in a multi-unit dwelling, although it is only two units. I buy local food when I can, but I was only guessing that three-fourths, or uh-huh. I think that maybe a third of my food is local, which they define as 200 miles. And goods and services. You know, I don't know where this stuff necessarily comes from. I try and support local. The mobility thing I'm fine and good on because I ride a bike. And that was the only one that I scored even remotely close to the global average, because most people don't get around any other way than their own human power.
The global average, even.
Yeah.
So, like, we, you know, our little handful, the bullies in the playground, us Americans, we gobble up so much more than we realize, even as activists.
Yeah, and your book, I think, repeats this. 24 acres per person is the average footprint for a North American lifestyle, just sort of the average.
Uh-huh. I wish I had my own 24 acres.
Yeah, me too. Well, I apparently only needed 21 acres, so I'm a little ahead of, I'm 10% below the average here, which is fine.
Uh-huh.
You know, how would I get it down to 12 acres? I just don't know.
I don't know.
And that's one of these tough questions.
Yeah, but sometimes it makes you want to give up and just, like, be a hedonist, you know, and I think there's a place for that somewhere in the natural ecology, you know. And for me, like, I'm embracing goals like ecological, because I think I can tell when my actions are for or against the ecology that's around me. You know, I can't tell whether they're sustainable or not very much without doing sort of a lot of like math and science and all these things, but when I'm doing something and it's against nature, it usually becomes obvious to me pretty quickly. And so if I try to do things sort of in favor of natural cycles as much as possible, then it just seems to increase my quality of life. You know, I don't know. The whole movement thing. Hey, can I plug something before an event, before we're done?
Yeah. Is it something that listeners in the local area would be able to get to, or is this a Eugene event?
Yeah. On November 20th, not for a month, so mark your calendars, on November 20th at Tryon Life Community Farm, from 6 to 9 p.m., I'm going to teach a workshop. And it's going to be like community discussion, a lot of interaction, games, and this type of thing, a design workshop. And then we're going to have a community seed swap down there at the farm.
Cool.
And so there's more information about that on my website, which is www.foodnotlaws.com. And I also wanted to give props to Proper Eats Bookstore, who hosted an event for me last week. And they are carrying Food Not Lawns books, so if local people want to get it, they can get it there, as well as a number of other bookstores locally. And I'm pretty sure Powell's is going to have it, but I don't think they have it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Proper Eats has it now.
Cool.
Not Proper Eats. Proper Eats is the wonderful, totally amazing place right down the street from St. John's Books. That they grow a lot of their own food, and they sell produce to the local community, and they host events there, and they have this amazing restaurant with delicious food and a little beer and wine bar.
And I can reference that both those businesses...
I want to give props to those folks, too, because they hosted me so graciously.
Both of those businesses also support KBOO, I'll just mention. Okay, so we got about a minute or so to wrap up here. What, you know, people are by and large probably thinking, yeah, right, late October, what am I going to do in the garden? So what can people do between now and March to prep their yard?
Mulch your brains out.
Or the yard anyway. Do people want to be flipping turf?
No, it's too wet. I mean, it's too wet right here where I am right now. I mean, you can mulch over turf. Like, if there's land, like grassland that you want to turn into a garden, I would say just, like, cover it with a tarp right now, you know, I mean, or a piece of carpet or whatever you have laying around, some cardboard. Just cover it for the winter, and the grass will all die. And because in wintertime, you know, when all the leaves are off the trees, that's when grasses really have its peak growing their peak growing period.
Right.
And then they bloom in sort of the early spring. And so if you suppress them really with just about anything during the winter, then in the springtime you can fork it up if you want to and dig up beds, or you can just mulch over and plant into it, you know, but just cover it and then pull that stuff back in the spring. That's what I would do with turf. And as far as gardening, I mean, it's not really the best time for planting, although planting garlic and like
shallots,
flowering bulbs, definitely the time is now. And I don't know, there's so much to do.
Well, I think
preserving the food you already grew is a really good idea too.
I think that's probably enough for folks who haven't yet done anything. So let's leave it there with encouragement to do something in terms of localizing your food supply. My guest this morning has been Heather Coburn Flores. She is the author of Food Not Lawns. And again, you can find out more online at www.foodnotlawns.com. Food Not Lawns is all one word. Thanks for being on the show this morning, Heather.
Thank you.
All right. You take care.
Take care, Andrew.
And now we got Ani and Emily back for, as promised, the big finish.
Dun, 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 that's right. Dun, 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 dun. Do something. Do something. And right now, that thing that you can do is call 503-232-8818. And join your community radio station. We're talking about converting your yard, your lawn space to productive food growing, community building, sustainable living space. We're looking at do it yourself from the very most basic of angles. And I think that's information that, well, it's worth supporting. Don't you, Emily?
I do, and I like that I can get it in a natural kind of way. Where did I find out about the Bioneers? Where did I find out about Seeds of Change? Where did I find out about alternative ways to treat pollution and sewage and things like that? Well, I found out on KBOO. I know that there's less expensive, more organic ways to do things, and we just need to get the word out. And this is the only place it's happening, folks. Because
and also, I mean, who talks plants, agriculture issues, food issues on the radio like
ever,
anywhere, ever?
No, it's like biodiversity is a nasty word. Well, that might be them eco-terrorists, sir. KBOO. Well, give a call and support radio like this and our freedom to talk about it. Thank goodness for how much longer, I don't know, but if you call, it'll ensure a little while longer. 503.
Those Kentucky flashbacks.
Uh-oh, yeah, uh-oh. 503-232-8818 is the number to call. 503-232-8818. If you want to get in on this offer of the book of $60 minimum pledge, you can give more. You can up your pledge as Jim did, or you can renew as Justin did, or renew as Tracy did, or renew as Katrina did, or up as Lynn did, or Joanna in Portland, all these fabulous, smart, ecologically minded people who supported KBOO. 503-232-8818.
Except that we need $500 here in this break now to
hit
our goal. You are wearing your lucky hat. I'm so thrilled. However, I see phone answerers who are, well, they're enjoying themselves.
And Dennis and Alma and the other fellow with the beard that over there that looks like
we call him Jim.
Jim, we call
mostly.
Him Jim.
We call him Jim.
Jim's and here, and they need you to call them at 503-232-8818.
Because they're down here to answer phones. They volunteered,
that's
like
right.
We all do down here. to help out KBOO during the drive, and right now they're not doing what they signed up to do, and I bet they would love nothing more than to take your phone call.
Well, and yeah, I think
they could
be
home setting up their cold frames, but no, they're here. They're here. They could be mulching, and you know what? These things that I find
could be
out
setting
of,
up my cold frame.
That's right. You know, growing your broccoli and your kale for the winter season.
Heather Flores was mentioning this is the time that you do something. Do something. And we
you
would love it.
People.
Actually, right now, to do something. We would love to answer your calls. We would love it if you would move to action and pledge your support to community radio, to People Rise Up. We are actually looking to make almost $400. You know, we need about $400 in the next 7 minutes. We can do that right now with you dialing 503-232-8818. 7 minutes, I meant three. 503-232-8818.
I'm going to get the folks out of the area again. The folks that are out there in Salem and way out in the way out way places where they aren't going to be
the way out way places?
Well, maybe where the local
you know, we do broadcast to like Mossy
carry.
Rock.
That's
if you're
right.
in Mossy Rock.
Well, and or across the world somewhere, 1-877-500-5266. You can get this book. Again, the book is Food Not Lawns, How to Turn Your Yard into a Garden and Your Neighborhood into a Community by Heather Coburn Flores.
And if this isn't something that you listening to us right now think you would actually make use of.
Say you're in an apartment.
I bet you know some. Well, she actually talks exactly about how to do stuff with
containers.
That whole section. What if you don't have a lawn?
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't garden, if you don't want a garden, you probably know someone who would love to get a copy of this book.
Oh, what a great idea.
I garden in my soul.
I don't think there's a section on that.
I have some mold and mildew going.
503-232-8818.
Don't you say if we have living organisms on us, we can name them? Isn't
that
right? 503-232-8818. And around the world or someplace else in Oregon, we'd love to hear from you. We really, really do. And we'll say your name on the air. We will. 1-877-500-5266. You can also please come down to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue between Burnside and Ankeny across from the Imago Puppet Theater, kitty corner from City Bikes. We love to see you. We love you to come down here and eat our pastry and drink our coffee and talk to us. And we smile and applaud you, and we take you on tours and stuff. And you can come in and ride your bike down and become
a
member.
And you can meet the folks that make radio happen and bring it to you every day.
Well, I wanted to reference a couple of specific things in the book that I know
you don't
have in front of you there because, well, I've got the one copy of the book we have.
Big pages that stay open. I love that.
There's a whole bunch of tables in here with specific themed information. There's one here about edible weeds of the northwestern U.S. With nutritional medicinal information, parts of it used, common and
does
botanical names.
Does it say
names.
What wine to serve with an edible weed?
With
what?
Two of them, yes.
And how about, is there a way, you know, we could, those slugs, we don't necessarily need to be tossing them out of the yard, perhaps we could
be your solution.
Serving them up for dinner.
Pros and cons of different barnyard birds.
Oh, and how they can eat your slugs. If you lure
type
the
of,
slugs
type of bird,
out.
Pros and cons. For example, you don't want a turkey because generally they're big, mean, and ugly. That's what it says.
And they're kind of dumb, actually. As birds go,
Ken,
turkeys are kind of like
Ken
the dumbest
upped
of birds.
His pledge in Portland, Ken, you are intelligent, wise person.
There's also this
we
really cool
so
thing that I bet every single less than expert gardener could relate to, which is weeds and what they tell you about your space. You got a whole bunch of lamb's quarter or thistle? This will tell you what to do
and
what it means for your soil.
Right. 503-232-8818. We are just about out of time. I want to mention that Ken has called. Thank you so much, Ken, upping his EFT in Portland. We've had a lot of people choosing to do that this morning, calling in and saying, you know, I've been giving $5 a month. I've been giving $8 a month. I've been giving $10 a month. I want to increase that $5 a month. I want to increase that $10 a month. Think about that. If you can afford a little bit more out of your bank account every month. If it's true for you, like it is for me, that you really don't notice that coming out of your bank account, then consider giving just another couple bucks every month to KBOO, your community radio station, where we are about sustainability, where we are about community, about 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what we do. 503-232-8818. We need to raise $300 right now. And I
in
know
the next 2 minutes, we can do that. This is fertilizer, folks. We need some fertilizer to put in our compost, a little bit of some rotted mulch and stuff like that. You're the
that
fertilizer
so cool.
that feeds us, the volunteers, the little cutworms that are inside the compost.
503.
That are making the fabulous soil that's going to enrich our world. 503-232-8818. You can get the book, again, for a $60 minimum pledge up, as we said.
Be your
get
own
that
worm.
Book. That's right. Get that book for your brother-in-law who knows everything. Oh, no, he doesn't. Because you're going to get in this
seven.
Book. 503-282-8818. We're mixing
1-877-500-5266. Or one more time, the local number.
503-232-8818.
Give the book as a gift. Give a gift membership. But do call right now and support your very own community radio station. 503-232-8818.
Thanks, Ani and Emily. And it's almost 2 minutes. In fact, it's just 2 minutes after 11. Time now for Democracy Now! Here at KBOO-FM in Portland, Oregon.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, serving the metro area since 1946 with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab offers airport service, wheelchair accessible vans, and can be reached at 503-227-1212. In Vancouver at 360-694-1234 or RadioCab.net.
President Bush has signed into law one of the most controversial acts of his time in the White House. The Military Commissions Act of 2006 strips detainees of the right to file habeas corpus petitions to challenge their own detention or treatment. It expands the definition of an enemy combatant and gives the president the power to detain them indefinitely, including U.S. citizens. Secret and coerced evidence can be used to try detainees held in U.S. military prisons. The bill also immunizes U.S. officials from prosecution for torturing prisoners who the military and the CIA capture before the end of last year. On Tuesday, President Bush held a signing ceremony at the White House.
This bill spells out specific, recognizable offenses that would be considered crimes in the handling of detainees, so that our men and women who question captured terrorists can perform their duties to the fullest extent of the law. And this bill complies with both the spirit and the letter of our international obligations. As I've said before, the United States does not torture. It's against our laws and it's against our values.
Outside the White House, a number of demonstrators were arrested at a protest that drew more than 100 people. The activists wore orange jumpsuits and brandished dog leashes to represent the treatment of prisoners at Guantanamo. This is an unidentified protester.
We reject that the act repudiates a half century of international precedent by allowing the president to decide secretly and unilaterally what abusive interrogation methods he considers permissible.
The administration wasted no time in putting the law into action. The Los Angeles Times reports within 2 hours of the signing ceremony, the Justice Department moved to dismiss dozens of lawsuits filed by detainees challenging their imprisonment. Meanwhile, lawyers for prisoners and rights groups say they'll press ahead with challenging the law in court. This is Vincent Warren, Executive Director of the Center for Constitutional Rights.
There are no guarantees and there are no safeguards for people who are being charged with terrorist activities to see the evidence against them. And if you can't see the evidence against you, you can't fight the evidence against you. This is not about finding out the truth.
In other news, the Bush administration has issued the first full revision of U.S. space policy in a decade. The Washington Post reports the new national space policy rejects future arms control agreements and asserts the right to deny access to anyone, quote, hostile to U.S. interests. The new policy's increasing concerns the U.S. is seeking to revive plans to introduce space weaponry. Michael Crepon, co-founder of the Henry L. Stimson Center, said, quote, the Clinton policy opened the door to developing space weapons, but that administration never did anything about it. The Bush policy now goes further, he said. In Iraq, the U.S. military is approaching its highest monthly death toll in nearly a year. 10 U.S. troops have been killed in the last day. All but one were killed in attacks around Baghdad. The killings bring to 67 the number of U.S. soldiers killed this month. The deaths were announced just hours after Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld told reporters at the Pentagon the U.S. military is too strong to lose the war in Iraq. In other Iraq news, the Iraqi government announced Tuesday the dismissal of its two senior police commanders. The two officials led Iraq's special police commandos and its public order brigade. The units have come under scrutiny over allegations they've been heavily infiltrated by Shia militias. The firings come as Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki is facing intense pressure from U.S. officials. The White House has disclosed Maliki even asked President Bush during a conversation Monday if the administration is planning to replace him. The White House press secretary, Tony Snow, says Bush assured Maliki of his support. Meanwhile, the Financial Times is reporting the Bush administration has revived its campaign to pressure the Iraqi government to issue a broad amnesty to insurgent groups. American and Iraqi officials initially floated the idea in June, but backtracked amid congressional opposition to granting amnesty to those responsible for the deaths of U.S. troops. In other news from Iraq, new figures show the Iraqi standard of living continues to decline. The Iraqi Ministry of Labor and Social Affairs says one in five Iraqis now live below the poverty line. The number of people living in absolute and desperate deteriorated conditions has surpassed 2 million. That figure marks a 35% increase over before the U.S.-led invasion. The unemployment rate has reached an estimated 60%, while food prices are also on the rise. In Bolivia, hundreds of people rallied outside the U.S. Embassy in La Paz Tuesday to call for the extradition of former President Gonzalo Sanchez de Lozada and two of his former ministers. The three are wanted to stand trial in Bolivia in connection with a massacre 3 years ago that led to the deaths of 67 people and left more than 400 wounded. More than 60 U.S. citizens took part in Tuesday's protest, including Maggie Fogarty.
Here today as a U.S. citizen who lives here in Bolivia, joining other U.S. citizens today and citizens of other countries who are honoring this International Day of Solidarity with Bolivia by protesting in front of U.S. embassies, in public plazas, in city halls, demanding that the U.S. government stop obstructing justice for the Bolivian people.
The protest came one day after thousands of Bolivians held a rally marking the third anniversary of Lozada's resignation. The Bolivian president, Evo Morales, addressed the crowd.
The government of the United States say they fight against terrorism, against corruption, that they defend human rights. If they truly defend human rights, if they truly fight against terrorism, if this is true, my friends, to defend democracy from an assassin, a criminal, the mafia of Gonzalo Sanchez de Lozada, Sanchez Bersane, the United States must expel them as soon as possible.
You can go to our website at democracynow.org for our exclusive interview with President Morales at democracynow.org. At the UN, the race for Latin America's open seat on the Security Council continues today. On Tuesday, the General Assembly failed to choose between Venezuela and Guatemala for a second straight day. The Venezuelan government says the Bush administration has been pressuring vulnerable countries into voting for Guatemala. On Tuesday, UN Ambassador John Bolton denied the charge.
That's all that that we have ever asked people to do. We have given the reasons why we think Venezuela's candidacy is problematic and why Guatemala's candidacy is has a lot of merit to it. And countries are making up their own minds.
Meanwhile, Venezuelan UN Ambassador Francisco Arias Cardenas called on member states to stand up to the United States.
Queremos que esto cambie para bien, que cambie para que todos nos entendamos en igualdad de condiciones.
We want this to change for the good, so we understand each other on equal terms, so that the will of the strong is not imposed on the weak.
que no acepta las presiones.
We have to profoundly thank this nucleus of countries that maintains itself and does not fall under this pressure. More people are in agreement that everything be resolved democratically.
In Lebanon, UN peacekeepers have reportedly warned Israel they may open fire if Israeli warplanes continue flights over Lebanese airspace. The warning was disclosed by Israeli Defense Minister Amir Peretz during testimony before the Israeli Knesset this week. Peretz says Israel will ignore the warnings and continue the flights. Back in Washington, former Food and Drug Administration head Lester Crawford pleaded guilty Tuesday to conflict of interest and false reporting of ownership of stock. Crawford stepped down as President Bush's FDA commissioner just over a year ago. Prosecutors say he lied about stock in several companies regulated by the agency. Two of the companies, PepsiCo and Cisco, were directly involved in hearings that Crawford oversaw. Crawford faces a maximum 2 years in prison and a $200,000 fine. In California, state investigators are looking into a letter that's been circulating among Latino communities that falsely claims it's a crime for immigrants to vote. The letter's written in Spanish and warns immigrants of jail or deportation if they vote next month. Here in New York, a judge has okayed a case that's seeking health damages for emergency workers involved in the cleanup after 9/11 attacks. More than 3,000 workers have filed suit against New York City officials and contractors for failing to provide proper breathing equipment. And finally, in Houston, a federal court has expunged the fraud and conspiracy conviction of former Enron founder Kenneth Lay. Lay died in July facing the possibility of spending the rest of his life in jail over his role in one of the largest corporate frauds in U.S. history. Lay's conviction was wiped out under the standard legal practice for defendants who die before exercising their right to appeal. Analysts say the ruling will severely complicate legal efforts by former Enron workers and investors to recover some of their money. The ruling may also close the book on the government's attempt to seize more than $40 million from Lay's estate. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
Good morning. The number is 503-232-8818. The program is Democracy Now!. The radio station is KBOO. What else do you need to know, folks? We are in the middle of our pledge drive, and we need you to call right now, 503-232-8818. This is Marlene Howell, and I'm asking you to pick up that phone and give us a call at 503-232-8818. We have a number of ways to say thank you when you do call today, including Amy's most recent book, Static, which you can receive for a $90 minimum pledge. That's $90 spread out over 365 days of the year. So give us a call at 503-232-8818.
That's right. Thank you so much, Marlene. This is Ani. I am the volunteer coordinator here at KBOO, and I get to talk to people every day while I'm at work. Actually, it's so rare that a day goes by without somebody saying, oh my God, did you hear Democracy Now! Today? Oh, that's such a great program. I'm so glad we started carrying it. I know that before we started carrying it, I talked to so many people just about every day about why we needed to carry it. Folks were just writing in, calling in, stacking those meetings to say, we need this program in this area. And KBOO responded. That's what we do. We are responsive to you, the community. And we need the community to be responsive to us. 503-232-8818. We have a goal of $800 to raise by noon, and we have only $500. Check this out. We have $500 to reach 100,000. One of those little landmarks of the membership drive. We're looking to raise $175,000 to support KBOO by the ultimate end of the drive. But right now, when you dial 503-232-8818, you will be a part of this plateauing at $100,000. It's quite significant, and we really love that. We want to make that as quickly as possible and get on with the rest of KBOO that you have come to know, love, and depend on. 503-232-8818.
You know, people came together and said, we want Democracy Now! On the air, and we were able to make that happen. And you were a part of that in one way or another. If you're listening to it right now, you were a part of it because you are the legacy that makes it continue. That's so it. Now we need to have you give us a call at 503-232-8818 and, in a way, make a vote for Democracy Now! Make a note for Amy Goodman. Make a note for this kind of quality investigative journalism that you've come to rely on from KBOO. And when you do, you can ask for a thank you gift in the form of Amy's latest book, Static, for a $90 minimum pledge. Or if you already have Static, we also have Censored 2007 by Project Censored. These are the stories that were censored and not allowed to be aired, so you would not know that they had happened unless you take a look at this book.
Or you listen to KBOO, which absolutely. I have to say we have covered almost everything in that book this year.
Well, then that's another reason to call 232-8818 or outside the Rose City, 1-877-500-KBOO, or go online to www.kboo.fm. The important thing is to make your voice heard in this community during this time of our membership drive. The number again, 503-232-8818.
We only have two lines open right now, and we'd love to see them filled up with your calls. 503-232-8818. It is so important that we have your support in to KBOO Community Radio. We rely on you, our listeners. 86% of our operating funds come directly from you. That's an incredible amount, and you have been there for us in the past. We know you're still there, and we need to hear from you now. 503-232-8818. I want to let you know, for a $90 minimum pledge, you can get this fabulous thank you gift. It's called Armed Madhouse. You might be familiar with the book by Greg Palast. Greg Palast, an amazing investigative journalist of our times. He actually signed many editions of Armed Madhouse and left them here with KBOO as your very special thank you gift. You can pick up a Greg Palast touched these books himself. Greg Palast signed copies of Armed Madhouse, and for a $90 minimum pledge, you can get one of those. Or a $75 minimum pledge could get you a copy of A Power Governments Cannot Suppress, A History of Resistance, basically, a collection of essays on American history, class, justice, immigration, and ordinary citizens who have made a positive difference around them. And that's by Howard Zinn, author of A People's History, professor emeritus at Boston College, amazing individual, interviewed by Andrew Geller just 2 weeks ago. 503-232-8818. 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.